Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
Back it again, I will never stop. I stay switching up my sound like this. I get unorthodox, but stay true to the game. Faithful to it like it's orthodox. So Christian, while you listen, I be pissing haters off a lot. Like urinals at your funeral, I picked you out a lot. That's godforsaken in the earthquake, I left an aftershock. Made your mommy tsunami, hope you know she's on my job. Cause I get athletic with it, my etiquette be off the chart. Been hot since awesome to Marley, more red alert and Chuck chill out. Ever since Uncle Rob put me on video music box, killing shows at Latin quarters. The red parrot and rooftop, known for doing the jeans, having all the girlies locked. 25 years in the game and it's still in a nigga heart. While you standing on corner staring, I'm just calling you block watch. Tenant patrol what I'm building like penthouse. I stay on top above the ground and out of jail. You know I'm thinking out the box. I got more 60s than the Army, Navy, and Marines. My mental capacity's like an unlimited magazine. To light you up and lead the way like lanterns filled with kerosene. Call your girls to jump on me, you start flipping like trampoline. Your lady mean my gift to gavel, gas her up like gasoline. Plus you kinda regular, with me you dealing with Supreme. Being coming from the old school, so I'm OGing. Off on you, pause, off on her, I'm just cuskeeting. I ain't messing around, if she see, she ovulating. She calls me baby daddy, but we don't have no children. Shit, I strike it down her lane, knock it down both lanes. Slide off with a cold, I guess you can call that ice skating. Nah, ma, you can't lock me down, I'm just speed dating. And if that hotel, my service will get 5-star rating. I Obama your mama, cause she said it's time for change. Casanova, player, president, no need for debating.
Good evening, Dons and Divas. I'm your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Before we get started, I want to take this time out and thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show. We had Brian Graham with the GQ General Question. The topic was hot last weekend. We had Reverend Edmund Thomas was on the line, Reverend Kathy Holland was also on the line, and Minister Joseph Jesus Sr. was on the line. And once again, I want to thank and appreciate them for calling into GQ Palace Radio. Now, we also have up-and-coming artist GQ, a.k.a. Q Public, letting us know what's been going on with him, and we played his smashing single, 215. After GQ, we had our special guest appearance, Charles Hardy from the Manhattans in the building. To hear last week's show, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's G-E-E-Q-U-E Palace, and check out the archives. Also, don't forget to tune in on Mondays to GQ Palace Radio, Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas, a grown and sexy adult segment. Now, this evening, we have another amazing show for y'all. We have Selena Hargrove with the GQ General Question. We have up-and-coming artist Brian Graham, a.k.a. R&B Divine, letting us know what's his next move in the music industry. And we will be playing his smashing single, If You Think I'm Cheating. After Brian, we have a promoter, Joe Bees, one of the biggest promoters in New York, letting us know what's going on with him and a promotional film, and finding out what's his next step towards the promotional events and what he got coming up for the weekend and all that. And for the last part of our segment, we have Akeem Shabazz in the building, you know, promoting some of the hottest artists that you will hear tonight. Now, before I bring Selena Hargrove and her general question out, I just want to take the time out to thank everyone that appeared on the show, all the artists that showed love on the show, all the GQ General Question artists, all the listeners, all the callers, I really do appreciate your support. GQ Palace Radio appreciate everything y'all are doing for us. And we plan on giving back. You understand? Now, what I want to do is I want to bring Selena Hargrove on. We're going to get straight to Selena, and we're going to start off with her general question. Hello, Selena, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm here.
Selena, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I can't call it. I might spoil it. That's my little phrase I have to say now and then, you know. So, Selena, why don't you tell the listeners a little something about yourself?
Let's see. I live in Shirley currently. I have two children, 19 and 21. What would be interesting? I guess that's the basics.
Sometimes it's good to just tell a basic.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell it all. And what's your topic for this evening?
My topic for this evening is actually a question, and it is if you caught your significant other, man or woman, in the act of cheating and decided to forgive them and take them back, do you think it's possible to look at them with the same amount of respect that you looked at them, you know, before the incident?
Okay. Now, what made you choose that specific topic?
I chose this topic because it has come up in conversations with friends and a couple of family members before, and it's a difficult one to answer, so I just thought I'd throw the question out there and get some input from other people.
Oh, okay. All right, Dodge and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to speak to Selena or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, me personally, Selena, I think that would be pretty hard to, you know, get someone cheating. And then, you know, even though you're taking them back, you're still going to have that grudge in you about, you know, I let this person do this to me. So it's a part that I think that's going to be one to get even.
I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, so, you know, we have some callers on the line. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring in a caller right now. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, hello?
Yes, hello. You have Selena on the line. It's GQ Palace Radio. Did you hear her topic for this evening?
I'm not sure. Is it possible it can be repeated?
Sure.
Okay.
I can repeat it. The question was, if you caught your significant other, male or female, and the act of cheating and decided to forgive them and take them back, do you think that it is possible to look at them with the same amount of respect that you looked at them, you know, before the incident happened?
Wow, that's pretty deep. I think one of the first things that I would do is look at myself and ask myself how much respect do I have for myself to get that, to accept that person back. You're dealing with some demons that person has. Is it worth it to be married to that person or not? Just a significant other. I understand that, and you have to make it work. But then you have to work on yourself and then walk around with somebody else's demons. You know, will it happen again? And if so, do I continue to work on it? So you're in for a long haul, a long battle. And that's something that only you can work it out. Only you and God. That's between you and God then.
Okay. Well, you stay right there. Who are we speaking to? What is your name?
My name is Ben.
All right. Definitely. Stay right there on the line. We're going to bring another caller.
Thank you.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You have Selena on the line. Did you hear a topic for this evening?
Yes, I heard a topic, and that's a very good topic, and it is kind of like a tough question, but, you know, I believe when you get into a relationship, one of the main things is trust and loyalty, you know what I mean? And if you're the type of person, man, a woman, that's, you know, when you get into a relationship, you get into full-heartedly, and you catch your spouse cheating on you, don't think you could ever look at that person again as the same way, because now you know what you're about. Obviously, this person is on the same level that you are. So you can't look at that person at the same way. You might try, but at the end of the day, things is not going to be the same. It's not. You're just going to be wondering, well, is he or she cheating on me? Or who was he talking to? Here comes the problem. Because I caught you the first time, you might be doing it again. God only knows if you've been doing it before I caught you.
And they say once you start, you can't stop. So if you do it once, you're going to do it again.
To each his own. Not all the time, but yes, it's definitely possible.
The majority of times, I say yes. If a person does it the majority of times and they get away with it, and if they feel they could do it again, they're going to do it again.
If they see a real big opportunity to get away with it, they're going for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're going to want their cake and eat it too after a while, and that's what's going to make it worse.
Yes. All
right.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, what I want to know is this right here, because, you know, everybody always claims a man is the bad part of the relationship. What makes a female so special in a relationship?
Now, with that question, the reason I presented the question as far as, be it male or female, is because I know that it happens on both sides. So I don't think that anybody is more special in a relationship either way, and both people are capable of cheating and, you know, hurting each other.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Hello?
Yes. I like what she just said. It shouldn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Cheating is cheating no matter what, whether it's male or female.
Right.
And I think that's the reason why that individual needs to take a look at themselves. You know, was it something that they did? You know, and if not, then you still have to take a look at yourself. Is this something I need to go through? Should I go through it? You know, whether the male going through it or the female going through it.
Right.
Either way it goes, it hurts.
Right.
And being in a relationship for 5, 10, or 15 years with the same feeling of hurt, you know, who you're living for.
Okay. Well, we have another caller on the line. I want to bring another caller through. Caller, are you there?
Yes, this is he. R&B Divine in the building.
R&D Divine. Divine, what's going on? You have something you want to say about the general question?
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I wrote that song, If You Think I'm Cheating, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because if a woman, you change the whole image, whether it's male or female, you change the whole image of the person, persona, whatever you thought of them, whatever your connection is with that person. Once you violated that image, if your girl cheats on me, it's a wrap. I don't look at you the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I don't care if we've been together 15 or 20 years. That's going to always be in the back of my mind. Always be in the back of my mind. So it will be a problem. It will just be an ongoing problem because where you going? Going at? How long you going to be out and all these other questions that wasn't before the cheating part. You know what I'm saying? Before it was all trust and everything. But once that cheating comes into play, a million questions come into play now. Every time you go somewhere, every time you talk to somebody on the phone, who you talking to, and all the time, because the trust is gone out the door.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's R&B Divine, you know, for people that's listening right now. He's actually the up-and-coming artist that's coming on after this segment, and he's actually talking about a song that you stay in your topic on.
Ain't that something, right?
Yeah, so he's a track that we're going to play, you know, on his segment that's called If I Think You're Cheating.
Mm-hmm.
If You Think I'm Cheating. And that's the track that we're going to also play. You know, it's crazy once you hear it. But he's the R&B up-and-coming artist that's actually coming on next. And it's a coincidence how you're talking about that, and he actually have a track coming on similar to what your topic is.
Right.
Word.
But we're going to bring in another caller right now. See what that caller has to say. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, so how I feel about that situation, I basically went through that. I was in a 14-year relationship, and my wife at the time had cheated on me with my best friend.
Wow.
Now, my wife is, right now, like, I'm in a totally different light, got a totally different new woman, engaged to that
mm-hmm.
new woman. I'm happy as can be right now in my life. But the situation is this. Shame on you, shame on them the first time, shame on you the second time.
Exactly.
That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the only way to come above anything like that is to forgive yourself. And the only reason I say to forgive yourself is because you have to forgive yourself for letting that person be able to, you know, take advantage of you and play mind tricks on you and take that trust away that you had for that person. You know what I'm saying? So you got to forgive
mm-hmm.
yourself at the end of the day to keep it moving. You know what I'm saying?
And
it's also it could also go the other way. I mean, some people just got a unconditional love for the other half. You know what I mean? And if you feel that love and you feel that you know want to give that person a second chance, I mean, that's a chance you got to take about, you know, by yourself. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree with you on that. That's some powerful stuff. And for you, I honor you. I really do honor you. You know,
thank you.
Of men that have been in that situation, they don't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so some of them do go back boo-hooing and, you know, but sometimes it's best to let go.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Lead a whole
right.
new life, you know. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it's best to let go. Because, you know, staying with that person, I'd rather be, in a situation like that, I'd rather be happy alone than miserable with somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
You know. That's the truth. Because when they're gonna stop cheating, when cheating
is only gonna stop is when we all become chameleons. When a woman can turn to any kind of woman I want her to be. When I look at her today, I want her to be Janet Jackson. Tomorrow, I want her to be.
I don't think that would even do it.
Yeah, because it would have to. It would have to because if my woman has got the hots for my best friend, you know what I'm saying? And I know that. Now I look like my best friend. So that's what you wanted? Okay, that's what I'm going to be tonight.
I don't think that would even work. And I say that because just from talking to a lot of people, I think sometimes people cheat just for the excitement of it, just for the, you know, the sneaking around aspect of it, not so much just to...
Because it's taboo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I don't think that would even work.
I would love me a woman who's a chameleon. She could be whatever I want her to be.
All right, we have too many men on here. We have any women that's calling
in. Oh, the females? Yeah, we're waiting for the females to call in. Oh, believe me, they'll be calling in soon.
Oh, good, okay.
I see where this is going. Do we feel a little discouraged? It's not the Serena that was talking all that on the GQ wall, right? With the ladies, right? No, that can't be that Serena.
I can hold my own over here now.
Oh,
don't worry, we ain't ganging up on you.
Okay.
No,
I'm not worried. I'm just letting you know. I'm not worried.
It's not a gang up. It's just straight, you know, the topic is real good. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I think the normal topic that you're trying to put, you know, basically talking about the man, but I'm not going to say nothing about that, you know, when you catch a significant other with somebody. No, but I'm not going to say nothing about that. That'll be our little secret. So I ain't going to talk about it over the air or anything.
Yeah, but what about when nobody's cheating or you think the person is cheating?
What if you just think they're cheating
and you don't know?
That's bad right there.
Mm.
Because now you're assuming.
That's torturous. You don't know, and you just assume it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And sometimes that could be a little more difficult than actually knowing.
Exactly. I can make it assuming that could cause drastic measures.
Right.
Especially if you found out you're wrong, too. Just for you even thinking that, you know, the trust is already gone.
You know,
yeah.
You know what? Just the thought of you being with your woman or the woman being with her man and, you know, y'all doing the bedroom and all, whether y'all freakish or subtle about it, whatever. You know what y'all do in the bedroom, the things y'all capable of doing with each other physically.
to imagine somebody else doing the same thing you doing to your woman, or you doing to your man as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is a question right there. Like, wow, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
That way it goes. That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts. Okay, well, nobody say that hurts. That's grown man talk right there.
Yeah.
They don't believe that till it happened to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really don't believe it until it happened to them. Because that is a feeling that is just uncontrollable. You know, it's like the stomach is in knots and everything.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Wow, that is crazy.
That's why they came up with that heat of the moment law. You kind of step outside of yourself and you're temporarily insane when something like that happens. Sometimes, you get a less charge, less in charge. That's a whole nother topic.
I got a question. How about, how about two individuals when one is cheating on the other one, right? And they break up because they've caught cheating. And then one may say, you know what? We can still be friends, But we can't be intimate no more. We can't be boyfriend and girlfriend. But, at the same time, each one of them go out and find six different spouse and still creep, and you're still creeping with the one that you caught cheating on you.
Hmm.
Because it happens. Because, I would come and say, somebody said, cheating no matter where, and the baby's made it come, how about you in the bed with your woman, what's going on, et cetera. But there are still some cases where men and all women break up, find other spouses, but still creep.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
Mm.
I think
a lot.
That's crazy. That's kind of deep right there.
Yeah.
Even though the phone was like going in and out, so I heard bits and pieces when he was talking, but the phone was going in and out.
Right.
So all we really heard was like bits and pieces of it. So could you repeat that one more time for us?
Now I'm saying, hello?
We only heard bits and pieces because your phone was going in and out.
Okay,
repeat that one more time.
There was a comment that was made. Somebody said cheating is cheating, right? And then the brother just made a comment about, how about you, like when you're in the bed with your woman and you know what's going on, what she's doing. Now how about when, let's say, I break up with my girl because she was cheating. Now we both go our own ways. I find me a different spouse. She's out with somebody else. We still creeping. Situations like that. Also,
If y'all still creeping, then y'all should have just stayed together. What was the sense of breaking up?
Right.
Now you're involving two other people that had nothing to do with your situation.
And now you're
not
the same
exact
thing. Right.
That's my point. They say, I can't be with you no more, but still, I still got love for you, I got respect you, but I just can't be with you no more because, I caught you cheating. But then deep down inside, wonder, we're going to creep. I know you said you got a man, but maybe we've been together before, and they still creeping. That's nasty, yo. That's nasty.
That still do that. You understand what they get out of it? I have no idea. I'm not gonna try to figure it out. But whatever they get out of it, may they get it. But it is nasty. But to me, there was no sense of even breaking up. So what was the sense of even breaking up if y'all plan on snooping around? Because all you're doing is getting more people involved in the situation now. Because all they're going to say is, you shouldn't have left them in the first place. If you knew that's who you wanted to be with, that's who you should have been with. You understand? So you're bringing people in that shouldn't be brought in, and you're getting more feelings involved now.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the excuse.
Some people's feelings are not to be played with.
Right. Oh, yeah. Because
all they're
going to
say is, you shouldn't have left them in the first place. Somebody's phone sounded like they far away. Is that me?
Yeah.
That's somebody's phone, right?
Yeah.
That's talking? You sound like you're real far away.
I hear it too, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know who that is.
In that case, Rich, I think it's just, when they do it, it's nasty. I think it's a justification. did wrong, you know what I mean? So now they say, well, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do now. It's what I've been doing. It's a justification. So, to begin with, it's just another reason for them to do what they want to do.
Well, that's true, too. Some people just like their cake and eat it, too, now. You got some people that just like their cake and eat it, too.
Mm-hmm. Some people, that's just their lifestyle, and that's just what they're always going to do.
Exactly.
I think a lot of that stuff comes with reaping and sowing. You reap what you sow in every situation. In every situation in life, you reap what you sow. Somebody cheated on somebody. You stopped cheating with them. It ended. You got with somebody else, and they was real good and faithful to you, and then they turned around and cheated on you. You reap what you sow.
Yeah, right, true.
Oh, yeah, you do got people that do that also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't understand, like, what are you getting out of that, though? What are they getting out of that, doing that? But they're getting their thrills.
They're getting their cake, and they want to eat it, too. That's what they're getting.
There's major consequences behind that.
That's a person that's miserable to me. Those are two people that's miserable. Because if you knew you wanted to be together from the get-go, why would you get involved with two other people? Why would you get involved with somebody? Why would she get involved with somebody? Vice versa. That's two people that's miserable. You know, you can't be happy with the only time, those are people that the only time you could be happy is when you're dealing with somebody else, and then you could deal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So they like friends with benefits that's really making them happy.
Do you think they also find a place? They're trying to find themselves. They're trying to find out who they are and what they want. They just haven't quite made that decision yet. So they just going around.
Yeah.
I think somebody mentioned something about miserable.
Yeah.
You know, we can use that word miserable. Or maybe we're looking at two couples that started out as a sexual thing, thinking that it was love, but was never love. You know, it happens all the time. And then as the year goes, they see each other for their true self.
Right.
So they see each other for, this is really not my mate. You know, so why am I with this person? And before you knew it, you know, had like four or five kids by this person, and now don't know what to do. So you go out there and you become miserable and sleep with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you still have somebody else.
Major consequences behind that. Major consequences. There's too many things floating around here today to be doing that, bro.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's crazy. Yeah. And people are not telling nobody. There's one, like you said, Rich, they just want that cake and they want to eat it too. They don't care about the next person.
That's crazy. So what happens when you find out the person that cheated on you cheated with somebody of the same sex? What do you do?
That's a whole
about the downloads.
Wow, that's a whole other story. That goes into all kinds of reality, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Though. Absolutely. Yeah, but I don't want to touch that one, though. Oh, no.
Oh, I've seen scenarios also where the couple invited someone else into their relationship for sexual reasons. And that person ended up in a relationship.
You have the celebrities doing it. I heard about that. Celebrities are doing it, too.
Regular people, everybody's doing it. But my thing is the woman ended up finding out that the man was sleeping with that person even without, you know, what they originally agreed on. He was seeing her and ended up getting pregnant and all kinds of other stuff.
Right. Yeah, there's rules to that type. I don't know what they call it. I know you have type of name for different sexual activities.
Swingers.
You call that?
They're swinging.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Don't swing nothing my way.
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hello, Lavina.
Hello, hey, how you doing?
Hey. Hello, Dons and Divas. I see there's a lot of Dons on here.
Yeah.
And two Divas. It's all right. We about to take over. It's all right. We about to shut them down real quick. I did not hear much of anything, but I do know the topic. And my answer, of course, would be if you cheat on me, you have to go. Especially if I catch you in the bed with someone, you have to go because that's my proof right there that you cannot be committed to me. So you need to go. You need to go. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. I mean, later on, granted, down the road, after everybody's established and they got their stuff together, you know, maybe if they could trust me, but I don't know. I doubt it because I think that when it comes down to women, women are like, if they catch their man doing a do with somebody, that's hard to forgive. That's a pill that's hard to swallow. Mm-hmm. You know, for some men, let's just say, if the man has that woman right there, and then the man also has somebody else, if they catch their woman, it's okay.
No, no.
Like that, right?
No. Men are very possessive.
Yeah.
Very possessive.
I agree.
They might be possessive, but we have to understand, okay, why is the person cheating? Is the person cheating because they're not happy at home? I heard, I think Rich say earlier that, oh, it's the thrill of cheating. What thrill is it? Because if you get, you like that rush, then go and get some medication. If you want a quick rush like that, or go get some herbal remedies. Instead of them playing with somebody's life. I mean, come on. Right there, you're endangering that person's life.
Yep.
And my thing is, if I have to cheat on you, I don't want you. You can go ahead.
Right.
You know, you can go ahead. There's no way possible. There's no way possible. But I've heard of people who cheated on each other and now they're back together or whatever the case may be. But you know what? That's between those two people. That if those two people can trust each other to be together, you know, and one person's not going to feel insecure, one person's not going to be jealous, all right, cool. But me personally, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do it whatsoever.
What about that saying, because I watch a lot of Jerry Springer, oh, baby, you know what, I'm just saying you wouldn't spend enough time with me, baby, that's why I did it.
Oh, it's excuses, it's that's what it is.
Communication, communication. If there's no communication to communicate that, a lot of times in a relationship, whether it's a man or a woman, they don't communicate their feelings. You know, I don't like this, or I like this, or I'd like you to do this a little bit more, or I would like you to do this a little less, or this, those types of things. It's about the communication. If you don't like something, you've got
to
say it. You know?
Okay. I'm still trying to understand,
like, okay, we have men, you know, some Dons on the line. Okay, Don, explain to some of us women, us divas, why do men cheat?
Well, I can't give you
I don't think you can sit there and say, why would men cheat? Because it's not about men cheating right now. It's about your spouse, whether it be male or female. Because females cheat just as much as male. So let's not hit the male in the back of the head right now. I'm a male.
Okay.
I don't
battlefield, more or less.
No. See, you jumped the gun. My first question
You
jumped the gun. My first question to the Dons was, why do men cheat? And then my next question to the Divas would be,
Why do women cheat?
Listen, there's no sexist over here.
Exactly. All right, we got you. Even it out.
I want both inputs on it just to see, you know, what the feedback is.
Well, I think Russ said it all. When he just said some guys want their kicky 82. That says a whole lot right there. When Rich Money just made that comment, that says a whole lot. There's a million reasons why. But
yeah,
I'll let the brother take over.
I think there's a million reasons why on both sides. But I think, again, just from having so many female friends and family and everything, I do know females who are completely happy in their relationship with their man, but they can't satisfy him sexually, so they get that elsewhere, and their home is completely happy otherwise.
Well, that's why they're supposed to communicate, boo. You're not doing what you need to do to satisfy me.
Sometimes it could be more than just a conversation.
I mean, everybody's not capable
Let me say it like this. If the normal size of a man was the size of a horse, right? And that's the normal, right? And that's what women dealt with. And a few women decided, you know what? I like those elephants over there. I think I want to try the elephant.
And so you go out there and try the elephant, you like it, you know what I'm saying? And you're chilling with the elephant curd and all that, and then decide, you say, you know what, I'm tired of this, I'm going back to the horses. So you go back to the horses. Now the horses can't satisfy you because you've been dealing with elephants.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. You
I
can't
like
go,
that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that and then come back to the horses and then call us all little men. No. You just
okay,
been stressed
I like
out
that. I like that.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay, I do like that scenario. Okay, but what happens when, you know, see. That's a good point. That really is a very, very good point. But my question is, though, Phoebus, what would you guys say? what would you say? I mean, me personally, I think that okay, with that scenario that he just gave, all right, fine, you know, we'll take that. But when it comes down to even the female, though, when the guy go out and the guy do X, Y, and Z, and then they come home and they expect that same person, you know, that the home person to be able to, what, do what the person out in the street does? You got to communicate
See,
with
that.
Because you know what?
Female.
She might do a whole bunch of different things, but when you come back home base, you're going to get what you've been getting from the beginning, and it might get
and
a little better
nasty.
In time.
And that's nasty. That's nasty. See, if a guy were to do that situation, all right, you would automatically know. You would automatically know, because like I always say, you only could butt one time. A female could do it multiple times. She could go in there and she could fake it, and a dude being so as a knucklehead, he'll be like, oh, yeah, I got to go. Meanwhile, she's faking it.
Yeah.
I disagree.
A female could go out and do whatever she wants.
I totally disagree. You won't know when a man has been out doing whatever.
Exactly,
and
because even if you check the little sack thing, it's not necessarily
that
correct.
Doesn't, yeah. That's
you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know the man.
Know.
All right. So you want to sit there and tell me.
And men can bust more than once.
No.
Consecutively. I'm just saying.
Let me ask you.
I like that.
Couple of weeks, all right? You know, he's so Rock, you're going to be like, wait a minute. You're going to be like, hold up, something ain't right here.
I missed the whole beginning of that. The phone was going out.
Breaking up.
Yeah, I heard it too. It'll echo also.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You hear me better now?
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you get an air for it. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Loud and clear.
Okay.
You know what?
Now, as I was saying, if you ain't give your man none, and let's say 3 weeks, right, and you go to give him some, and it takes him like 2 to 3 hours to bust, what you gonna say? You gonna be like, wait a minute, something ain't right here. Am I right?
I would have to say that. I mean, if that's not the norm for him, then
right.
You know, getting it on
norm,
a regular basis,
though.
Then yeah. Then, yeah,
right,
so of course.
That's not the norm.
I would question anything that's not the norm.
Well, okay, okay.
Exactly.
But
you need more proof than that, though, Rich. I mean, not for nothing.
Yeah, definitely.
You're saying like 3 weeks, basically. Okay, so 3 weeks, and then you go ahead and give them some or whatever, and it takes them 2-3 hours. Okay, you a man. Y'all got to come better than that. It's more proof behind it than that. And Rich is saying
no,
that's
what you
female.
Mean there's more proof behind that? That is ridiculous.
Say it again.
Yeah, say that again.
Sexually, y'all women get away with so much. Sexually.
How?
Sexually.
How?
Y'all
are you kidding?
Y'all do.
Come on.
Because like I said, it's a certain, y'all women could go for days. Y'all could go and have sex with like 4 or 5 men and still come home and have sex with your man. Like
that's
did.
Nasty, but
look,
that is
look.
True. The man
that's nasty.
Typically
okay.
that's
a man can't go out and have sex with 4 or 5 women and come home to you and be like, okay.
See,
it can't happen.
I disagree with that. Yeah,
that's something. I'm sorry. I'm sure the Divas got my back on that.
How do you disagree with that?
Rich, we disagree with that completely.
Yeah,
all right, explain to me. How you disagree with that? If you know your, if you a man and you know about a man, there's no way a man could go out and have sex and bust and bust and bust and then come home to his wife and bust. It's impossible.
Okay, but not for nothing.
Okay, wait, wait. Can I keep it real?
But see, you're saying if you know a man. No, correction. If you know your man, you know what your man is capable
exactly.
of. But not every man is the same. You
right.
can't speak for every man. You can only speak beyond experience.
You're saying,
that's it.
You're
can't speak for everybody.
In other words, just saying. If your man was to come home and you ain't give him nothing in 2 or 3 weeks and he don't bust, you wouldn't have a problem with it.
Well, see, that goes again with knowing your man, because you also have to know his...
I just said, your man...
You have to know your man.
His masturbation schedule, too.
You know, you were talking about men
you
in
know
general,
what?
And we're saying... Y'all keep looking at...
Act like a woman, think like a man.
Oh.
There you go.
That was
a
great movie.
But it was.
Yeah. Y'all
it
keep
was.
Doing it.
But not so much, like, realistically, like, seriously, real talk, every man is different. Therefore,
mm-hmm.
if you know your man and you know that your man is not going to, if his average norm is 2-3 hours and then he's going to, you know, bust or whatever, then, okay, granted, you know your man. But if
right.
you're with somebody, if you're with a man that he can go and bust like an hour and then next,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple hours later he can get back up, then granted, every man is different. Not
right.
every man is the same. Come
right.
on. Don, y'all know that. Don't even try it.
Oh, yeah, yo, can I make a comment on that, please? I'm going to keep it real.
I'm
going to
keep it real with the deepest.
Sure. I'm
going to
keep it real.
I'm going to keep it what?
No, your wrist, last thing that you said,
it's
true. I got you back as a man. I got you back. But right is right, wrong is wrong. There was a time. There was not now because I'm in a relationship. There was a time, a few times, where I had sex with three women in one day and then went and did it again all in one day and
yeah. Very possible.
Just
you know what, bro?
You just nasty.
I'm gonna keep it real with you.
Nasty.
I am gonna keep it real with you. Well, then you got situations that others need to know about, because I don't know no man that really do that many times. That you know.
I'm sorry.
It's very possible. It's very possible. But that goes back to also. You can have sex even just with the same person in the morning, then again at 12, and then again at 4, and then again at bedtime. That's possible.
It's possible.
So
you know what,
Selena?
Selena, you've been quiet for like. Selena, you've been quiet for like I say about 30 minutes. But then when a female came in the line, I noticed you started getting up like yeah.
That's right.
You know what?
That is not true.
Look,
I was giving people an opportunity to respond to the question. That was what that was about.
Yeah, and the Dons are crumbling right now. You see that, right? One Don is saying it's not possible.
And it's on to turn on each other. You
saying,
see that?
Right. The other one is saying he was just nasty before he got to the relationship. They're slowly starting to crumble.
Yep.
You know what?
I still say what I say. Hey,
you're
sneaky. Say what you say, but we still
you're
say
sneaky.
What we say, and it is possible for a man to do that.
Absolutely.
Come on now. And
absolutely.
This caller right here that's on the phone right now talk about he's gonna tell a story about what he used to do. That's a prime example right there of just nasty.
Well, at least
you know
he was
just nasty because I think she's calling
you nasty, man. She's calling you nasty over here, man.
How you gonna go say 3 and then come home to 1? Come on now. You don't do nothing like that and then stay on the radio. Come on.
Damn, how was you doing, man?
They got classes
for
that.
Who was that? They
got classes for that.
Joseph?
Teenager.
Oh,
I
said,
I'm a full grown man. All I have is one woman, and that's all I need.
Look, look.
Don't get a little hostile there.
Look, if you're going to go out and
I'm really
you're gonna do 3, and then you're going to come back to your 1, and now you're saying you're a full grown man, that's 4 in one day. Come on, reality. Nah.
Even though we do appreciate your honesty.
Well, Selena, I want to know, let us get your final thought on this topic.
My final thought, I appreciate everybody's input, and I agreed with a lot of things that was said. Some things I didn't agree with, but a lot of good conversation. It helps me to be better armed when the situation comes up again that I need to help somebody out with. So thanks for everybody's input.
You're welcome.
Welcome. And good luck.
Good luck? That wasn't my situation.
What happened?
I'm just saying, with the person that you're explaining it to.
I know, I was kidding.
It's not easy.
Yeah. The topic at hand, cheating in general, is tough on, the relationship, any way you look at it.
It's poison. It's poison to the mind. Even if you're a good person, it's poison to the mind. You just can't shake it.
Right.
You know,
right.
I heard
what
you said, and it was good, but it
wasn't
to the system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any shout outs you
want to
give, Selena?
No, not really. I want to thank everybody who called in, and again, thanks for the conversation. Nobody I want to specifically shout out, though. Just everybody on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us, Selena. We're going to get you back on the air. Either we're going to catch you on that Facebook, one way or another.
Either way, you will be hearing from me again.
All right. Selena Hargrove, Dons and Divas. Coming up next, up-and-coming artist, Brian Graham, a.k.a. R&B Divine. Here to let us know what's his next step in the music industry, and we will be playing his smashing single, If You Think I'm Cheating. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
I can't feel my legs, I can't feel them. I can't feel my legs.
right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. And with me right now, I have Brian Graham, a.k.a. R&B Divine. Brian, welcome to the show. Brian, are you there? Hello, Brian, well, what we're going to do is, while we're trying to get in touch with Brian, we're going to play one of his tracks until we get in touch with him. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Allow me to introduce myself here. Brian Graham, a.k.a. R&B Divine, R&B Gangster. Ghetto Lost Entertainment, Beast Up Production, some R&B Gangster crew.
One of his singles that y'all heard called Rolling. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? Now, that rolling is, I was trying to save it, you know, but I figured, you know, since we got some more hot joints for them, you know, why not give them a taste of it right now?
Right,
let them
no
see
problem,
what they're
no
getting
problem.
Into.
Thanks, my man. Brother. I appreciate it.
No doubt, Ryan. It's an honor having you on. You understand? I really want to let you know it's an honor, you know, for you to take your time
out.
I
appreciate it, man. It's an honor.
Mm-hmm.
It's an honor being on here, my
brother. And all that. Now, let's get into Brian Graham, a.k.a. R&B Divine. How did
all
you
right.
come up with that name?
Well, like I said before, I'm originally from South Carolina. Lived up to Florence, South Carolina, Flowtown. Started out there with a group, and I've been around mostly rap artists, and I used to battle while they were rapping at me. As far as battling, I would sing battle with them, and I from there they started calling me Raging Battles, which is R&B Divine. Everybody immediately thought R&B went for the rhythm and blues, but it was really Raging Battles Divine. Because I used to battle singers and rappers all the time.
Oh, so you were just like, hey, you're going to claim that crown no matter what. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
It definitely ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, what
there
made you decide to, like, get into rap, you know?
I mean, the rap thing I do it because I can, but I don't, you know, that's not my forte. My forte is R&B.
It's singing.
And that rubbed off, yeah, I sing, but the rap rubbed off because, you know, most of the people, the artists I was around was rap artists, you know. I've been in a few groups, but you know the thing with groups when it comes to singers, for some reason when it comes to singers, whether it's in a church choir or in a group, you got jealousies and innuendos and stuff like that. So I say, you know, I'd rather just be solo, you know.
I feel you. Now, the first group you was in was called the Tribe of Shabazz.
Tell
us a little something about that.
Tribe of Shabazz, big up to my man Bombadane, you know what I'm saying? Malik Shabazz, that's my brother Malik Williams. Mark Ella Vincent, DJ Mark Ella Vincent, Smooth Vic, Vic Newton. We had a group called Tribe of Shabazz, and we opened up for a few people down in North Carolina. Not North Carolina, South Carolina. When MC Light, back in the days when MC Light came through, the 69 Boys, Christopher Williams with FS and Effects and all that kind of stuff, you know. We was the main ones that opened up for a lot of groups that came through our town. So we've been doing a lot of things. They was the rap group. I was the only R&B artist in the group. You know, that's the main people I was talking about when I was saying that, you know, most of the people I hung around was rap artists. So, you know, we did a little thing, made a little name down in the Flowtown, you know what I'm saying, doing what we do, you know. And that's what it was.
Okay, because I know you also opened up for, like, who was it? MC Light, 69 Boys, and all that, right?
Yes.
What was that experience like?
Well, the MC Light thing was with a different group. That was when I was with the other group, which was my cousin Carlton, with Jazzy C or Jazz C, and my homeboy Four Quay, and MC Light came through, and we opened up for her, and 69 Boys came through. I was young in the industry at that time, so yeah, that was very exciting for any to open up for any artists that was out at the time, you know. So yeah, it was a very exciting moment, yeah, definitely.
Now, because I know you was also asked to be the lead singer for Blackstreet.
Yeah.
Elaborate us on that.
Well, after I got out of the, I left the group, I ended up going to the military. Did my 3 years there and came out with a plaque for Military Male Vocalist of 1990. But anyway, came out and one of the lieutenants I was dealing with music and thing, he used to date Teddy Riley's sister in either college or high school. And so when we recorded some things together, and he sent tape to his sister for her to give to him, and he got a hold of it and immediately called and said, yo, he need a lead for group.
played to me that they was asking for a singer for the group. It was it was displayed as he wants us. So when we get down there, like I said, I wasn't business savvy at those times. I was just happy with just singing and performing, you know. So they handled my business, and what happened was they messed up the deal because they had the intention of being signed with me when Teddy didn't need producers. He got a label and a load full of producers, you know. He didn't need no more producers. He was just looking for a singer, but that wasn't displayed to me. So anyway, while I'm talking to Dave Hollister at the time and giving me his little, you know, history and what, they came out and said, yo, we're going to take a lunch break and come back. So we jump in the car, and we go driving to go wherever we're going to go to eat, you know. And I'm, like, tired because we drove all the way from Connecticut to Virginia and was up all night recording, getting things ready. So when we going to get something to eat, I doze off in the back. I said, you're waiting here when we get to the thing so we can discuss what's going on. So I falls asleep. When I wake up, I said, man, this looked like Connecticut. He was like, this is Connecticut. I said, what happened? I thought it was just, what's going on? He was like, nah, man, help that nigga, man. Yo, man, he's trying to play us, man. He's trying to play. What you mean he's trying to play? He just wanted you, man. He just wanted you, man. That ain't right, man. Huh? So you telling me you couldn't have just let me get signed and I could have pulled you in some kind of way once I'm in the door? Like,
exactly.
What kind of mess was that? You know? So anyway, 2 weeks later, after we had our falling out, he calls me back and tells me about another deal in New York, which is up here, and it was with an independent label. And I got signed with them, and I had Mark Sparks, who did shoot for Salt and Pepper, Grand Cooper 2000, the Grave Diggers, and the like. And he produced my album. He set up an EMI distribution deal for $1.7 million. And the day the label and me were supposed to fly to California to make that solidify the deal is the same day that the feds came and raided the record label and took everything, you know, because they was laundering, you know, money, you know, drug stuff and all that kind of. I didn't know any. Like I said, I was very dumb when it came to the music business part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I was just happy with singing and performing and recording and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that deal went down, will crash because of that. And so anyway, I said, you know, I'm not going to run back down to back home and with my head down, hung low no more. So I said, I'm going to stick up here and grind it out. And since then, I've worked with Flavor Unit, with Baku Tubman, Miss Boss Lady Entertainment, with a group called Reservoir, with my man Stucco, he called him Black Liberace, and man Gio, and my man Spade, Jack Spade, and he was managed by Baku, and you know, that didn't go down because I won't even go into that. It didn't go down, so you know what I'm saying. That's a long story. We ain't trying to bore the people right now with all that long drawn out story. But anyway, the bottom line is right now I'm doing my own thing. I got my own studio. I write and sing and produce now, and you know, and that's what
making it happen.
I'm just doing what I can't wait for nobody no more. You know,
exactly. That's why we're gonna talk about this single right now. If you think I'm cheating, tell us a little bit about that.
Oh man, that's the typical thing, man. It's like, you know, all of us go through the you know that cheating thing. It's either somebody's cheating or you think they're cheating, you know. And that's what that song is inspired by, you know, because, you know, I've been in situations, I'm sure you've been in situations with significant others, and, you know, it's the same thing you spoke on the last conversation before this, you know, it comes to questioning, and where you at, where you going, you know,
uh-huh.
I don't trust you, the thing, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You've been speaking to somebody, to a friend who happened to be a female, and why is it a problem now? You knew I was speaking to this person as a friend before. And before we was messing with each other, you knew I treated this same female as a friend, never did nothing with her or nothing. So why would you all of a sudden get her, you know, all suspicious and things, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Exactly.
It's either the stuff was that good or you just were.
we going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, here's another banger by Brian Graham a.k.a. R&B Divine. If you think I'm cheating, remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Like this, forget the other girls. You're my myth. When I'm around you, I'm powerless to love another while you exist. So don't be thinking I'll be out there smashing, flipping on the strip like I be nagging. Things I used to, I don't know more. You're the only one I adore. So when I tell you that I love you, baby, ain't no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. My fiance, I'm your JV. Mashed potatoes with meat and gravy. Let's make a vibe between you and me. No one else involved but G-O-D. Trust in you and you trust in me. Both of us can live faithfully. I'm never gonna make it work. If you think I'm out chasing skirts, if you think I'm cheating, when I'm not, I think you're cheating. So stop, how are we ever gonna make it work? If you think I'm out chasing skirts, if you think I'm cheating, when I'm not, I think you're cheating. So stop. You're the only one I'm romancing. I don't sleep around taking chances. Girl, I love you, but trust me more. It's a problem, we can't ignore you. Got me thinking that you're out there doing all these little things that you're accusing. Baby, let's not be insecure. What's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. So please believe me, girl, you're enough. Words cannot describe how I love to spend more time with you making love. So there's no time to argue and fuss. So I know sometimes you don't think I listen. You got my full complete attention. Loving you, baby, is my mission. It's a fact, my love is no fiction. How are we ever gonna make it work? If you think I'm out chasing skirts, if you think I'm cheating, when I'm not, I think you're cheating. So stop. How are we ever gonna make it work? If you think I'm out chasing skirts, if you think I'm cheating, when I'm not, I think you're cheating. So stop.
Wow. Yo, V, I love that track. I love that flow and everything about it. That joint right there
Thanks.
Is crazy. Ain't no
Thanks,
question
bro.
About it.
Thanks,
ain't no
bro.
Question
Thanks.
About it. That joint right there, that's definitely a party banger.
Right. Appreciate that, bro. Appreciate that. I just want to spread some truth. Spread some little Southern York experience, you know what I'm saying?
Now, have you ever been a type that when you got on stage, it was the stage fright, or you went up there with the black shades just to get your composure, anything like that?
Because I grew up as a clown. I always been a clown. I did comedy too, but that's another subject. But you know, I like being in front of the crowd. You know, I mean, I've never been shy, even in church, you know, my first time singing in church, you know, I never was shy. I like singing. I like, you know, being in front of the crowd, especially when I found out, you know, especially as a younger, before, you know, when I didn't know how to rap to a girl, and I found out if I sung a note or something, if that got their attention, that would made them like me. Oh, I was singing everywhere. I was singing everywhere, boy.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Especially you're gonna sing for the ladies. They love that. We actually
right.
have a call on the line for you, Brian.
Okay.
Call, are you there? Hello, call, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, you have Brian Graham on the line, aka R&B Divine.
All right, Brian, how you doing, brother?
All right, my brother.
I'm doing well. I have a two-part question. The first question is, brother, Larry spoke about how you got that name, R&B Divine, through battling. I just want to know, was it your first battle that you decided to have a singing career? And the second, last question is, when you go to the studio and you write your song, like, how you come up with your lyrics? What goes through your mind to write a song such as "Are You Cheating on Me"? Like, is it an experience that you had, or what?
Oh, that's definitely that's a compilation of many experiences I've had. And I try to speak on it on both sides of the fence when I was speaking on it. But I think at that particular time when I wrote the song, I was right about that particular scenario or relationship I was in at the time. So it was easy to put it to pen and paper, you know, I experienced it and I was going through it at the same time.
Okay.
So,
it's what it's like. All
right. Right, you know. Basically. Right. The raging the R&B divine came with the R&B was for raging, the B is for battle.
Was it your first battle when you said, you know what, I want to make a career out of this? Was it your first battle that made you decide that you want to, you know, make records?
You know what, at that time, when I first started, I wasn't even thinking past going on stage and singing. I wasn't even thinking about the record deal part at that. I was having too much fun doing what I was doing at the time, performing and singing and getting the reactions I was getting. I think around about, I guess, after I really got out of the military, I probably really, really, really pursued it. I mean, I was already in it before I went in the military, but as far as really pursuing it as a career is when after I got out of the military.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you,
Bob.
Mhm. No problem.
Yeah. Now, who would you say some of your biggest influences are?
Woo-hoo, that's a lot of people, man. You sure you ready for that? Ain't enough time. No, I'm just playing. Okay. We start from Minnie Riperton, Mahalia Jackson. Smokey Robinson and Philip Bailey and Prince is where I get my falsetto from. My mid tones come from Stevie Wonder. What's the guy's name? Please don't let me forget the guy. because there's so many people that I took something from. You know what I'm saying? From even groups like Mint Condition, you know. There's too many people to name. Donnie Hathaway, oh my God, that's one of my best right there. That's my dude right there. Give me rest in peace, for real. Who else? I mean, as far as today's now, as far as what's going on today, I just spoke about a little, you know, older groups, but today now, who I'm feeling. I'm feeling neo soul type songs. Like I like Music Soul Child. As far as the R&B and all that, Drake, he all right. You know what I'm saying? He got nothing bad to say about nobody. It's just that you know, he's doing what I started. You know what I'm saying? I mean that rap singing and all that. Like I was speaking of before, I was doing that when I was 16. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I challenge Drake any day. I mean, especially as far as the R&B part, if he's trying to be an R&B. In fact, well, I think I might have sent one of my songs to you called R&B Hook in Your Mouth. And that was a song dedicated to all rappers out there that's trying to be an R&B singer and a rapper at the same time, trying to be R&B divine. You know what I'm saying?
A little confused, huh?
You know what I'm saying? So I put only that one, out there. You know, rappers like fish with an R&B hook in their mouth. They can't escape, but got them all strung out. That's the hook. You know what I'm saying?
Now, at one point, you also joined a second group called T-Love, right?
No, it's called
T-Locks.
T-L-O-C.
I got that wrong then. My bad. T-Lock.
Yeah, it's all good.
Tell us a little bit about that.
T-Lock came up. I was trying to think of a name for the group. Me and my cousin and my man Fourth Grade, and I came up with T-Lock. And they were like, "What you mean T-Lock?" Because I already knew what it was. I knew he was gonna ask what T-Lock was. I said, "Total level of consciousness." That's it. And I was like, oh, okay, all right.
You heard me, right?
So we rolled,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so we rolled with that. We rolled with it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's what we did. In fact, my father, John Miller, came to one of my first at that time came to one of my first shows, and that was a blessed day. I was like, wow, my pop here, come to check me out. Wow, that was cool.
Wow. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's love and support right there.
Yeah.
Now,
so
what's your favorite song that you wrote?
I don't know, man. All of my songs is my favorite. Oh my God! All of my songs is my favorite, except probably the ones that the little rough draft joints I got. I like it. Rolling is one of my favorites. Definitely the one that you played. In fact, most of the ones I sent you basically is my favorite. I try to send the ones that's most, you know, that I like the best. Rolling, If You Think I'm Cheating, R&B Hook in Your Mouth, Baby Let Me Get Between Your Legs.
We're going to play that next.
Yeah, okay. That's for the ladies. Oh, shout out to all my ladies out there. You know what I'm saying? Feel that one. Record this, download it, and play it for your man when you get home. That's what's up. But yeah, what else? Oh man, I got so many songs, man. I got like just on SoundCloud alone, I got like I think 26 or 28 songs on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got songs on datpiff.com, you know,
mm-hmm.
under Southern Yorker, of course. By the way, my new name is Southern Yorker R&B Divine now, okay?
Oh, Southern Yorker.
Southern Yorker R&B Divine. So if you want to say R&B Divine, you can say Southern Yorker.
I got you.
That's what up.
Ain't
you know?
Nothing wrong with that. Now, let me ask you, are you looking for a major deal or independent deal, or you just...
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I really don't give a F-U-C-K. Really.
Okay.
I don't even care about the business, to be honest. I really don't, because the business is so messed up right now. I mean, if I get signed, fine. I ain't going to turn it down. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, but I'm not like I was when I was 16, blind to the business, and all I want to do is just sing, da-da-da-da-da, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, I want a deal, but I don't, I'm not privy to, I work hard as if I got a deal, you know, with doing my own, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I would be an asset to any label that will pick me up because I work hard, you know? But as far as if I get a deal or not, that's not even my mind. If it comes, it comes. Because I've spent so much of my years looking for a deal and coming right to the door and it not happening that I can't allow myself to... If I keep going at that rate, I'd have depressed myself, probably committed suicide a long time ago. I can't mess with that, man. They're going to sign me. If they're not, they're not. You know, I don't know if I told you, there was a story, a brother had called me 2 o'clock in the morning, talking about they heard my joint. He just got out of a meeting with R. Kelly, Keisha Cole, and J. Cole, and, you know, they want to fly me down there to Virginia and, you know, meet the staff and, once I sign, they're going to give me $10,000. I don't have to pay it back. That's for me, just for signing, blah, blah, blah. Then at the end of the conversation, he breaks down and says, all we're going to need from you, bro, all we're going to need from you is $275. I'm like, huh? I'm like, man, listen, man, bro, you must not have read my resume or something. Because if you read my resume, you would have never came out your mouth saying no stupidness like that. And beware to all you other artists out there listening. Anybody, any label or any person, especially if they're going to name call and start naming names, big names like R. Kelly and say they want to sign you and they can't turn around talking about they need some money from you, it's bull. It's fugazi. It's fugazi. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Come on, stop playing, man. I'm too grown for that, man. Go do that to some little 16-year-old. Go do that to me. You know what I'm saying? Don't play with me.
We have
I got
another call on the line for you. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. We have R&B Divine on the line.
How you doing, love? I'm
perfect. How you doing, love?
Good. I just have a quick question for you, though. Where do you see yourself in 5 years with music? Like, I think
with
I heard
music,
you say that, you know, you really don't, you know, it doesn't matter if, you know, if you get signed or whatever. But where do you see yourself, like, musically?
Gospel.
Gospel, okay.
Not the typical gospel. I mean, you can have the typical gospel and that too. But I know I didn't send this one to you, but there was a song called "Something in the Water," "Fly Away," and that is more of the tip of a gospel song that I'm on. You know, but you can find that on SoundCloud/Southern Yorker, and that's on there. You can check that out. But yeah, gospel is more so, I like this, something that touches people. I mean, because we've been singing about the same subjects since music started. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, money, how rich I am, you know. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole circumference of the music industry right now. It's about bragging about how much money you got. But that has nothing to do with feeding your soul. It has nothing to do with and making you think, a song that makes you think, you know what I mean? It's like it's monotonous to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to talk about those things. I can and I will here and there, but that's not my, you know what I mean? I want something more than just singing about the same subject that we've been singing about for decades. You know?
Okay. Now, if you could work with a gospel artist, who would it be?
Wow. I don't even know. Cause they scary nowadays. All these television people that I don't trust. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I don't trust a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Cause you talking to a Southern brother who grew up in church and I know the Bible and all that. You know, read it 3 times over. But I like these television evangelists, and just because you got a name, I don't with all that. But it's who. Like Kirk Franklin, if somebody said, "Will you work with Kirk Franklin?" I don't know. I mean, if you come to me, yeah, I might. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's wherever the Lord leads me, I guess. You know what I'm saying? How I'm feeling at that time. Because,
okay.
You know. I mean, I go with whatever. You know what I'm saying? As long as it's in line with righteousness. You know what I'm saying? As far as that concerned, when it comes to gospel. But I got it. As far as me doing gospel, I would have to actually. As far as myself personally, I would want to actually be living the life as a child of God, not as a hypocrite, not as a person who knows the word and speaks it but don't live it. I don't want to be that type of person. I want to live it because there's power when you living it and speak it. You know what I'm saying? When you speak something that you live, there's power behind it. When you ain't had no experience on something and you just going by some lecture you heard, you know, then there's really no power behind it. It's power when you have experience behind what you're saying.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and keep doing good work.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call. Hello?
Yeah, hello? You can hear me, Brian?
Hello?
Yeah, Brian, you can hear me? Hello, Brian.
Hello?
Brian, can you hear me?
Brian. Okay, all right. Hold on 1 second, hold on.
Brian, can you hear me?
Hello? Yeah.
You can hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I don't know what happened there.
But what I want to do now,
I want to get into one of your singles. Baby, Let Me Get Between Your Legs. What is the scenario? What's the scenario behind that one?
That's just a love song right there, you know. You know, you with your girl, you know what I'm saying? And or you with somebody you potentially want to get into, you know what I mean? And it's just a next scenario, man. It's just a scenario I thought up, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's a scenario I thought up. You know, baby, let me get between your legs, you know what I'm saying? Just instead of beating around the bush, just saying straight.
Ain't nothing wrong
you know
with that. Just straight to the point.
Women always talking about keep it real, keep it real. So, all right, I kept it real. I kept it real, man. You can't say nothing after that.
All right. We definitely going to get into that right now. All right, Dawes and Divas. Here's another banger, I keep telling you. He's doing it big. R&B Divine. This is another one of his smashing singles. Baby, Let Me Get Between Your Legs. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive. Tell you it's been an honor having you on.
Yes.
Now,
Thank you, my brother.
I need you to do is give everybody your information, your Twitter, your Facebook, give them all that so they can, you know, hear your tracks and everything.
Okay, well, Facebook is my real name because I ain't got no federals or no warrants and nothing like that. So Brian Donovan Graham on Facebook. For datpiff.com. Will be datpiff.com/Southern Yorker. For SoundCloud, you type in soundcloud.com/Southern Yorker. What else? Twitter. My Twitter is same thing, Southern Yorker 1, the number 1, Southern Yorker 1. Yeah, everything else, you'll be linked to everything else.
Wow. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Shout out to all my peoples in the Boogie Down Bronx, Soundview, my man Minnesota.
Hello, Brian?
Quick Newton, Smooth Nick. Hello?
Yeah, you going in and out, Brian. Your phone is going in and out. Only thing we heard was Soundview. And
right,
you
know,
if you have any shout-outs, give them out. Give them out now.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, as I said.
Is that? I don't know. Brian's phone is just going in and out. I don't know. But, Brian, I really want to thank you for joining us.
For my people in Flo Town and Florence, South Carolina, big up.
All right. But, Brian, I really want to thank you for joining us this evening.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome anytime, and it's never a problem.
That's what it is. That's what it is. I'm going to just start working on some new stuff to bring to you. You know what I'm saying?
In fact,
I think I'm going to work on a promo for your radio station. How about that?
Yeah, that'll be real good. Do that.
I definitely love that, yo.
Ain't no question
that's
about
it. That's what it do.
All right. My man, 50 grand.
And thanks for all the callers that call in, too. Appreciate that. Thanks for everybody that tuning in and all that. Appreciate that. No doubt.
All right. Brian Graham, a.k.a. R&B Divine, Dawn and Divas. Coming up next, my man Joe Bees, a big promoter from New York doing his thing, letting us know what's going down with him in the promotional field. So stay right there. We'll be right back. This is GQ Palace, love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Man, look around, man. New York dream, man. Can't never forget. Pop bottles for the real G's. Some up north, some doing life, you know. R.I.P., man, some gone. Hey, pop bottles for the real G's. And if you dead and gone, still in my memories. This is a New York dream. This is a New York dream. Hey, pop bottles for the real G's. And if you dead and gone, still in my memories. This is a New York dream. This is a New York dream. Growing up was easy, but man, it was hard too. Going to the court, damn, my D-Lo blue. She looking in my face with tears in her eyes. I knew something else bothered her inside. But I had to get older to realize that every dude around me ain't gonna ride. On my way to the Allen, never will I cry. Got a knuckle game for them if they try to come at mine. My little sister came to see me. She's so big like I'm seeing her in 3D. Time fly like a plane in the sky. When we on a visit, she hates staying by. Lost in the system, out of sight, out of mind. Got a man up like a jump shot. Cause they try to run over you like a hit and run. But I ain't with it though, cause I get it in.
Pop bottles for the real G's. And if you get it gone, still in my memories. This is a New York dream. This is a New York dream. Hey, pop bottles for the real G's. And if you get it gone, still in my memories. This is a New York dream. This is a New York dream.
Look at me, I'm a star now. Hear how my car sounds. Bedline looking down at me with a big smile. He love to see his young boy floss. Forget buying a polo, I'm buying a horse. West side of Harlem, going to see Poppy. I'm Gucci in the hood, I'm so icy. Now my money stacks taller than Weezy. Rap game like slide-offs, it's so easy. Crib in L.A., bigger than D.C. Got a lot to say, just listen to me. It was all good just a week ago. Now I deliver metaphors, dominoes.
Hey, pop bottles for the real G's. And if you get it gone, still in my memory. This is a New York dream. This is a New York dream.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. And with me right now, I have promoter Joe Bees. Joe, welcome to the show. Joe, what's good? What's good?
What's going on, bro? How are you?
I'm all right. Taking it one day at a time, you heard? One day at a time.
Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time out to join us this evening.
I appreciate you taking the time out to interview me.
No doubt.
No.
Now, let's get into, you know, what Joe's doing right now. Now, how did you get started doing your promotional events?
Basically, one day I did a birthday party. There was a snowstorm and it was packed. And I figured I could do this. I like this. I like club life. I love it. You know what I mean? So why not get paid for it? It's hard to find a job you love doing and you can make money off of it.
Okay, so promotional was that, was just there at that time to get that money flowing, just like that job thing.
Exactly.
Oh, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Now, do you feel doing promotional events is something you can make a career out of?
Definitely. I know people right now who never worked a day in their life that their party's not saying that you could just drop everything and do parties. It's not for everybody. You know what I mean? It's like it's a constant grind. You can lose your girl from this. You lose your family because you're out in the streets partying all the time. Like, it's a tough grind. Like, only some can survive. But you definitely can't live off of this.
So, speaking of that situation, so do you think promotional is something for somebody that has a girl and kids that has a family? You know, do you feel like that's somebody for the promotional field, is somebody for somebody in that character?
It depends on if your girl or wife is reasonable and she know what it is, right? Like, this is what you do. It's how you make your living. Yeah, it is, but if you have a wife that can't understand it, that never been, like, out there like that, like, no, it's not for you. You might as well just buy that ticket and just go to the one-offs, one-off party, just enjoy yourself, go back home. It's not for you. Exactly.
Wow. Now, how long have you been doing promotional events?
Over 10 years.
Wow. So you might as well say, just like you said, it's like a career.
Yeah, basically.
Since you've been doing that long, that's, you know, 10 years is a long time and still be going with it.
Yeah, it's a grind. It's a grind, man.
Now, how long did it take you to do a promotional event?
Like if I want to throw a party, it'd take me, like, to put something together, probably like 2 weeks. Probably like 2 weeks. It depends on how big the spot and everything.
With a full capacity?
With a full capacity, yeah, like 2 weeks. Two weeks. Like, I've been doing it for years, so my tax and everything, people already know what it is. Like, it's easy. Like, for somebody who's just starting off in the game, yeah, probably like a month or better to get everything organized. But I already know everything, like, so it's easy for me.
Exactly. So you already got your plan set up. You know exactly how you're doing. You know exactly what it's going about. So your whole scripture is just, the whole format is just there from the get-go.
Exactly.
Now, when you do your events, do you have a specific DJ you deal with, or do you choose random DJs for random events that you be doing?
I choose random DJs for random events I do. It depends on, like basically, like, a big event, like my birthday party or something. Like, I would go with, like, a Smooth Ski, L.A. Love, because those dudes have been rocking with me since day one. So, like, but basically, like, all my weekly parties, we do, like, different DJs. Like, I got a good rapport with all DJs.
Mm.
So that's, like, basically that. Like, can't discriminate. Just can't, like, you know what I mean? You got that's for everybody. You got to be, you want to stay in this game, you got to be cool with everybody.
Mm. So have you ever had an event that was over capacity? If so, what you did in that type of situation?
Basically,
what do you do in that situation?
Basically, like, my birthday party, it was over capacity. People was outside for, like, 2 hours waiting. It was like, we was at capacity. It's like, nothing we could do. Like, some people bought tickets. We basically, like, took care of them. Like, we apologized. Basically, nothing you can do. Like, with this party game, the give and take. People going to love you or going to hate you. Like, regardless, like, if you have a packed party, they can't get in. They're going to be mad at you. If you have a party and they do get in, it's whack. They're going to be mad at you. So it's like, the best thing, you just got to take the, you got to roll with the punches. Like, basically, like, you got to apologize. Sorry, I got you on my next event. I will comp you. You and your people,
wow.
Da da da. Like, basically that. But at the end of the day, you got to keep it moving. You just can't cry with spilled milk.
Hmm. Wow. Definitely agree with you. Now, let's talk about this new spot that you have going on right now. Let the listeners know about that, because you have some new joints going on Fridays, right?
Yeah, we down in the city at the Honey Lounge. Nice little lounge. You come through, get your two-step on, cool out, great music, good food. Ladies free before 12. Celebrate your birthday for free. We, like, do $5 shots throughout the night. Like, a great spot. Like, different crowd, mixed crowd. It's like, you can feel real comfortable. So, you can just come through, dressed up, real grown and sexy. You know what I mean? Just mingle.
Because it sounds like, you know, that's definitely happening. I have a call on the line for you. So, we're going to bring that caller in real fast. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have Joe B on the line.
How you doing, Joe B?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How long have you been promoting parties? And is this like a full-time job for you, or is this like just something that you like doing?
Been doing it over 10 years, but I do have a real job, but I do this also. Like, basically, like, I can make what I make in like a month and one day at a regular party. Like, honestly, if it's like really crazy, the venue is big, like, it depends on.
Okay. So do you think it depends on the location or just how long it takes you to promote it for the most part?
Just depends on the right party at the right time. Right party at the right time. You never know. You can have a party and you think it's a good one, and it's like, you think it's going to be a great party, and you have like 20 other promoters doing the party and they got everybody free. And this and that, da-da-da. Like, so it's just, you got to just know your date and land the right date. Have a great party. Basically, that's what it is. Like, it's just like, it's like playing chess. When you can lose.
Right. Okay, thank you.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
Joe, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Are you involved with any other promoters? Or is it just you when you do your events? What other promotions are you dealing with, if you are dealing with them?
It's a couple of us, like the 18. Like, we have a bunch of promoters that get together. We do, like, cookouts, like, give back to the kids and everything. Like, we have one of the biggest cookouts out here. And we just, like, mad food, give away toys, book bags and stuff to the kids. So I got a couple of teams that I deal with, AJ Productions, Zookeeper, Lance Floss, PMP. Yeah, basically that. I don't really deal with too many promoters.
Mm. All right. I have another call on the line for you, Joe. We're going to bring that caller through. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have Joe B on the line?
Joe B, what's up, brother? How you doing?
All right. And you?
I'm doing well. I got just one simple, easy question for you. I heard you say you have two jobs. So I'd like to know this promoting thing. Will this be like your last job? Like when you retire, will it be the last job you ever have until your retirement? You know what I mean? Last thing you ever do?
I hope not. Nobody want to be that old guy in the club. I hope I'll be able to get rich before then.
Because I heard you make a comment, you know, like Rich M. When he asked you, like, you know, it's the type of thing, like, you know, it's the career that you want to have. I mean, you know, and having a family, you know, being that you can lose your family because, you know, being a promoter, you be doing parties a lot. And if you don't have this woman that understands what's really going on, you know, things are not going to happen for you in a, you know, so just with that being said, it's like, if this promoting thing, it's just like, this is what you want to do until that day. So I'm like, you know what, this is it. I'm going to retire. I'm just going to take a nice cruise, you know, let's call it today.
Yeah, nah, I don't want to do this when I retire, no, sir. Hopefully I'll be rich before then.
All right.
Like, nobody want to be that man that's 55 in the club still throwing parties. People on crutches
never
and all
that.
That's
to have
respect, like, you know what I mean? I ain't trying to party like that, baby.
All right, well.
Wow. My foot, man. Now... What do you enjoy most about being a promoter?
I love the club scene. Like, it's a lot of tension. Like, it's just a rush. Like, I love to party. I love to, like, it relaxes me. Partying, going out, having a drink, chilling with my fellas, relax. Like, it's cool listening to music. I used to DJ back in the day, so it was, like, so down a lot. Like, it's a great feeling. Like, it's just cool. It's relaxed. I have fun. I enjoy myself. So that's why not get paid for something. Like, a lot of people, you could say, like, 75% of people out here that have jobs don't like their job, but it pays the bills. And having doing something that you love doing, that you have fun and getting paid for it, ain't nothing else better than that.
You're definitely right about that. Now, let's say if someone came up to you to have a promotional event, how much time do you need, you know, for them to advise you, to let you know that they want you to do a party for them?
It depends. Like, somebody come to me today and say, listen, I want to come to your party spot tonight. Okay, I will comp you plus to one, and you just bring everybody else. It's a party that's already going on. So it's like, you just add it on to the crowd. So
let's say they own personally, like, they want you to do an event for them. Like, all right, I want you to do my birthday party, you know, such and such on this specific day. How much notice will you need for them to give you to do that?
2 weeks.
Oh, about 2 weeks?
So, well, it depends on, they say, like, they want a party, like, they got 1,000 people or something. Like, all right, it's going to take a little time, but somewhere 350, 400, 2 weeks.
Now, do you feel like it's a lot of jealousy going around on some of these promoters when it comes to the party scene? Because some promoters, you can look and see that they be upset at one party because their party is bigger than theirs, you know, instead of just trying to talk and, you know, get it all out. It's like a little jealousy thing going on. How do you feel about that?
Like, jealousy, that's a female trait. So it's like, I don't get involved with that. Like, there's a lot of promoters that hate us, like hate on other promoters. But it's like, if you have to hate, all that time you're taking the hate on that man, you could be thinking of a project to do something bigger than what that guy's doing. So it's like, for you to hate on another promoter, that's whack. It's like, you might as well join them. Get involved. Like, what's just wrong with some promoters? Like, black people, they don't stick together. Like, we got to move as one to conquer. Like, we got to move. We got to move as one. We can't hate on each other because none of us would. Progress, because now you're just bringing the crowd everywhere. You're just pulling everybody everywhere. Like, we all got to get together as one and just start doing big parties and, like, shutting the whole city down. Basically, that's how I feel about it.
Wow.
The hate, like, these cats that hate, they're not promoters. Like, pissing you off. Your girl promotes, you don't have time to hate.
Because to me, females bicker and bitter and all that. You know, that's jealousy. So to me, if you got somebody that's doing a party and the dude is, like, hating on you, he ain't doing nothing but acting like a female.
Basically.
Me, which is jealous. Which is jealousy.
Yeah, like, are you going to argue with a female? No.
Exactly.
You're going to walk away, like.
Exactly.
It's a lose-lose situation for you, especially if you're on top.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Now, you got any up-and-coming events going on? You know, let the people know about that.
All right, tonight I'm in the city on 14th Street between 7th and 8th. Honey Lounge, nice, great music, food. Tomorrow night we have Rose Hall. We have the fight party, free food, free hot buffet. We got a projector screen, 100, it's like 125 feet long, like it's crazy, it's ridiculous. Gonna be growing and sexy. I mean, that's basically that for now. I've got my craft fest coming up in August.
Oh, what? Yeah.
We're doing it big.
You're definitely doing it big. All right. You want to let everybody know your information, Joe? You know, your Facebook, your Twitter, how they get in touch with you? You know, when you do your parties, where they can get the tickets and everything like that?
Hit me up on Facebook, Mr. Joey Go. On Facebook, Instagram, Joey Go, my email, MrJoeyGo@hotmail.com. If you want to hit me up and do any parties or anything, any events, come to one of my events, which we love. That's great. Awesome. That's basically that. PMP, Power Move Productions, that's what it is.
No doubt. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Shout out to the Power Move family, basically that.
All right.
It's cool love.
No doubt. So, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us. We're definitely going to try to, you know, push your promotion thing as much as we can because we're on, like, 13 different sites, like I was telling you. You know, so we're definitely going to try to make it work more for you, even though you probably don't need, we know you don't need the help anyway, but that's just how GQ do, you heard?
You always need help, brother.
All
right. A fool don't need help.
I like
you
that.
You always need help, brother. Appreciate it.
No doubt, Joe. I would definitely holler at you.
All right. Thanks a lot, bro. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
All right.
No doubt. One. Joe B's Dons and Divas. Okay. Coming up next for the last part of our segment, we have our special guest appearance, Akeem Shabazz. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Please believe it. Please believe me. Please believe me. Light knives and belly, y'all, I'm so sincere. Affiliated with these bars like that TV show shit. Rappers think they on my bumper till I shift these gears. Yeah, proceed a bad mother like Susan Smith. Let's a be, but I love her. With if dad used rubbers, or there was no cat creek, or mom's never recovered, I'd be dead or in jail. Yeah, that's so real. Whatever say the shots, I never step foot in the veil. Or if I never got expelled when that shorty told the lie. Back when I was running point for the MCS squad. Jumper so sick, handles perfect. First step was so quick, and could finish no assist. What if I didn't live on the block in the early 90s? Introduced to that crack rock, now we a dying breed. See too many fall tragically, just another hood story. I know the Lord won't put more I can bear on me. If I went to the army and never got discharged, stayed as a veteran, never did make charge. Seen two wars, home and abroad. To all my fellow vets, active duty in the guard. Past the present, I applaud. What up, battle partners? Sidney Hosey, Eddie Jenkins, and Raymond Foster. What if that gun didn't jam and then 50 went blam? And Kuta Kente got away when he ran. What if I wasn't this good? Will I still want to spit? Would society be any different without us on them boat trips? What if Martin wouldn't have got hit?
or JFK had a sunroof and his brother's vest bulletproof. I get it now. Believe it. Please believe me. Please believe me. This is hip hop soul. I don't rap no more. Only adore suit. Don't promote crap no more. Whoever gets offended, that's who that same foe. Go hard and sell dope. We all wrote the same boat. How does heifer gon' question when it's positive message? That movement they own, such a negative effort. With of course a lot of cell phones. Culture real expressions. Culture real confession. And that's a you do you. Why these dudes resist a lie? They need an image consultant. Acting like some monkeys, y'all their music's insulting. Since when it's become cool to sound ignorant? But oh, your kid's smart, you're such a hypocrite. I get it now. I get it now. I get it now.
Dons and Divas, welcome back to the last part of our segment. Welcome back to GQ Palace. And with me right now, I have Akeem Shabazz. Akeem, welcome to the show.
I'm good, man. Can't complain, living.
I feel you. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's the only thing you could do right now.
No time for complaining. Nobody's listening.
I feel you. You got some big things going on right now, Shabazz. You doing it big right now. Ain't no question about it. No.
Yeah, looking big, bigger, though. You know what I'm saying? Taking things one step at a time. But I like where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I definitely can feel you. That's why it's an honor having you on also. You know what I mean?
My pleasure.
Yeah, now let me ask you, how long you been in the music business?
Oh, man. I mean, like, actively, from an active standpoint, it's been close to 17 years now. You know, I've always been engulfed in the music business itself. I was surrounded by it growing up around, you know, some hip-hop history, you know what I'm saying, and the DJ and the producer, you know, that being Mr. C, DJ Mr. C, and Easy Mo B. So, you know, I kind of like got groomed to what the music business was about back then. But from a, you know, standpoint of working professionally, working with labels, working with professional artists, it's been close to 17 years.
Wow. So you're definitely doing it big. Ain't no question about it. Now, I know at first you was going to be an artist. You know, you got into the artist thing, you know, rapping and all that. What made you change your mind?
Well, I mean, it was actually, you know, a deadline I gave myself to break into the game and whatnot. You know, I had actually did it on my birthday, my 30th birthday. I always said if I couldn't do it by then, you know what I'm saying, then, you know, I was going to leave that side alone because I had my hands in on a lot of other things. Like I said, you know, dealing with things on the outside. As a youngster, I was like a road manager for a couple of artists, for my manager on top of being an artist. So I got hip to, you know, game and whatnot. And, you know, I've always had a good mouthpiece, so I was like, you know what? You know, maybe it might be best for me to be on the backside of things because, you know, like even in being an artist, you know, it's tough. Like, I'm the type of person, if I want to go out 2 in the morning and get something to eat, I don't want to have to worry about putting contingency plans just to go get some fast food or something like that.
Yeah, I feel you.
I'm a free spirit, so you know it wasn't difficult, but it was kind of sad because I was a pretty good artist, man. Not for nothing. I've been battled some notable names in the music business, so. I was a pretty good artist, though.
Yeah, you still could have did the Ghostface, the Ghost joint, the Ghostface thing and all that, Ghostwriter.
Oh, yeah, true. I could have went that route and whatnot, what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was like, it'll never be pure to me and hip-hop unless it's coming from you. So, with that said, I just fell back and I analyzed the game from a different standpoint. I was doing tracks at the time, too, because a lot of my production that I was doing, for myself was coming from myself. It would be structured and assisted by brothers like Easy Mo B and, another good brother who's actually on the production team for Team Takeover Music and whatnot. So, he's like first-generation hip-hop. So it was like different avenues that I could take, And I'm a low key guy, so aside from the performing element, it wasn't hard, man. It really wasn't hard. I thought it was gonna be difficult, but it wasn't hard, man. It was taking on new challenges,
And see, that's what I want to talk about now, because you started your career dealing with some big names like DJ Mr. C and the legendary producer Easy Mo B, right? Elaborate us on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all grew up in the same building. I'm born and bred in Brooklyn, Lafayette Garden Projects and whatnot, And Easy Mo B lived on the 11th floor. Mr. C lived on the 8th floor. And I lived on the 1st floor, And so it was like I came up around it, man, Me and them two brothers, we were tight in every way and whatnot, coming up as kids. And, I seen C get his first shake through his uncle, spinning turntables. And I was always just sit back and analyzing. And even me becoming an artist, I ain't decided to become an artist until Big Daddy Kane told me to. Yeah, he was actually part of a group called the Devonair 3 before he decided to go solo with Mr. C. And I was actually writing for one of the members of Devonair 3. And, when he decided to go solo, he was like, yo, the other two members were like, damn, what are we going to do now? He's like, yo, put Akeem as the third member. So that took place for a quick minute. And then I decided to be a solo artist, myself. So. But, yeah, being around them brothers taught me a lot, I got to meet a lot of legendary artists, because a lot of cats used to come through and get tracks from Easy Mo B, and they used to come in the projects. Didn't like it. Come to the projects to listen to tracks and whatnot. It wasn't like you could see somebody at MP3 back then.
He did something for Biggie also, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, the list goes on. I mean, Biggie, LL Cool J, he did Genius, whole first album, not Wu-Tang Genius, Genius that was signed to Cold Chillin', did joints on Biz's first album, LL Cool J, Slick Rick, and he was working on Miles Davis' last project, he did maybe 75% of that last album. Oh, let me not forget Tupac, Buggin'. One of the few producers.
But he
that
did, matter of fact, he, yeah, you're right.
He one of the few producers that had the pleasure of working with both Biggie and Pac. So, me living on the first floor, I used to have to be the lookout. Make sure these brothers can enter and leave the projects safely. My projects was no joke, dude. And definitely not kind to new faces, especially of the male persuasion. So
I feel you.
They get offended and think you coming through to grab their chick. So, we used to make sure they get in and out of the buildings and everything. And, you know, it kind of became a little coach in our neighborhood, because after a while, when these cats really blew up and did well, they used to come through in limos to come get Mo, and we always was riding out with them. So, you know, I got to live behind the scene and see things, and it helped grow me when I was doing my artist thing. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, man.
I mean, I got to see a lot. I mean, Jay-Z before Jay blew up. That's when him and Jazzo was doing things together. You know, like I said, Biz, you know, Kane, of course, like, you know, and I went to junior high school with Kane anyway, you know what I'm saying? So I knew him before he got with Mr. C. And then, you know, I actually knew that whole little team before they knew each other. Me and Scoob used to go to Thomas Jefferson High School together, and Scrap used to date a friend of my sister's. So it was just crazy how things was just culminating and coming together.
Wow. So yeah, you was definitely doing it. Of course,
you was
in limos when they didn't even know what limos was.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, believe that. You know what I'm saying? And my manager, he was a first class street millionaire, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Sudan Lawrence, you know what I'm saying? He's down there in the ATL doing his thing now. But you know, we was riding well when we wasn't up in them limos. We was going to meetings at labels and Maseratis and Benzes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't everybody's thing. Like, you see anybody in a Benz now. You know what I'm saying? But you know, back then we was looking real good. I'll put it that way.
Now, let me ask you, what's your ideal of a successful artist that you feel like, okay, I like this artist right here. He's going to get the crowd going. His music is going to be, you know, on point. How do you pinpoint them out?
Alright, well, what I like to think about is what I call in all phases of music. Everything needs to be triple threat. You know what I'm saying? As an artist, you need to be a well-rounded person. You need to be a good recording artist, and you need to be a good performer. You know, and if you're well-rounded, chances are, if you're talented, you'll write good music. You know what I'm saying? And if you can translate that to the stage, then that's like, it gets no better. If you look at the greatest, or those who are considered the greatest of all time, minus maybe a few, all of them was those individuals. You know what I mean? Or you take Pac, you take Biggie, you take LL, you take Busta, you know, Kane, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh. All of these guys was able to translate their music to the stage, and people can feed off of it. You know, it's one thing to have good music, but it's a whole nother thing to make people feel good when they're in your presence. So that's what I look for in the artist. You know what I'm saying? You have to carry all of those qualities. You know, I don't mean to knock anything now, but it's like a lot of artists today didn't do their homework to really see what it took to be a successful artist. Because, you know, I go to a lot of shows, and it's hard to find, you know, new artists that really, really move me. You know, because they don't take that into consideration. They take yesteryear, and they don't feed off of it to make them a better person. So, you know, I look for somebody who's well-rounded, person who has a voice that can command the audience, and write good music, because at the end of the day, that's the bottom line.
I feel you. Well, what I want to do right now, I want to get into one of the singles, you know, from one of your artists called Get Off Me by Bully. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Bully a beast. Bully a monster. Shout out to Y.O. Let's do it.
No doubt. All right, Dons and Divas. This is Get Off Me by Bully. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Get off me. Get off me. Get off me. Get off me. Sucker, get off me. 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 Now move back.
Chewbacca. My flocker spits flames. Stay with them goonies. Backs off the chain. Still in the hood, moving that cane. I don't need method just to bring the pain. Been on more tracks than the fucking train. Hannibal Lecter, my flow's insane. Yeah, I'm a beast, that's untamed. Red dot temple, off with your brain. Bully stay high like a plane. Get off me, get off me, get off me. Get off me, sucker, get off me. Get off me, sucker, get off me. Get off me, now move him back. Now move him back. Homie, I sold ya. Bully is a soldier. Venomous balls, yeah, King Cobra. Y'all niggas sweet, pop your top like a soda. Move that rock street, nigga. For me, hover. Chill on 95, duffel bag in the Nova. Radar on deck, so I won't get pulled over. Locked down the town, out of state with my Doja. Heard I'm getting money, move them beans like Folger. Never serve new fix, homie, I don't know ya. Keep bail money, the other for the lawyer. Bulldog with a defense like the Hoyer. Keep a bad mommy, cause I love Goya. Get off me, get off me. Get off me, get off me. Sucker, get off me. Get off me, get off me, get off me. Now move him back. Now move him back. Clear shot like a Kodak. Rubber band on the wrist, money I don't fold that. Front if you want, D-block, don't condone that. Yeah, we own that, chicks we bone that. Hit them with heavy, yeah, where that moan at? It's old money, huh, asking where that loan at. No call, no show, I catch it where your home at, for real. Get off me, get off me. Get off me, get off me. Sucker, get off me, get off me. Get off me, get off me. Now move them back.
He killing. He's like, gonna move him back.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah,
man.
He is killing him.
Billy Black performed that out in Jersey last Thursday, opening up for Future. And yo, the energy in the building was crazy when he did that. And he definitely got Future's attention. You know what I'm saying? With that record. And that's one of the things I love about, you know, pushing artists, that, you know, when they come up, because they get to open up for a lot of major acts, and then that's your opportunity to really not only show the audience, but show your competition what you made of. And anytime that you can open up for a headline and you can get the headliner's attention, that's a beautiful thing, you know what I'm saying, because that lets you know where you stand amongst your peers.
You're definitely right. We have a call on the line for you, Shabazz. We're going to bring that caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have Akeem Shabazz on the line.
Peace, Shabazz. How you doing, brother?
Assalamu alaikum, my brother. How's everything?
Everything's tight, brother. Tight, alhamdulillah. I got a quick question for you, man. You know, you spoke on a lot of great artists. One of them is Tupac Shakur. And you must have read my mind, because my question is, about when you speak about performing for the audiences and energy, you know what I mean, and Tupac Shakur, when he performed, you can see his brother, man. He put a whole lot of work, a lot of energy into it. So my question to you is when you perform, you're talking about you personally, when you perform and you write your lyrics, how much energy do a person have to put into that, man? Because I know it's not easy. You just can't walk in and say, I'm going to do it, and that's it. It takes a whole lot of energy to do that. How much energy do I have to have?
I mean, depending on the song that you're doing, you know what I'm saying? Because you have cases where a lot of cats just hear a beat and they throw lyrics behind it, but I think it's more to it than that. So
right.
when you're putting a song together and you hear it, you know, let the music tell you what to do, and then you really have to, from an essence standpoint, let that translate into the stage. You know, hip-hop is telling a story. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and when you hit that stage, it's almost like
you know, like a play almost. You have to bring what you're talking about to the stage and let it filter out to the audience. So, you know, one thing like you just mentioned, you know, you mentioned Pop. You know, a couple of weeks ago he did the Coachella thing with the hologram, and you know, that was the best performance I've seen from a solo artist in about, shoot, maybe since 50 first came out, when he was really inspired to, you know, really enter the game and whatnot, you know. And he had posted that on our website, you know. And my comment to it was in the headline, this is the blueprint for what artists need to do, because, you know, nowadays big name acts get like, they're getting close to 100 grand to jump on stage, you know what I'm saying, for, you know, 35, maybe 40 minutes. And you know, I'm not impressed. I'm not going to lie to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not impressed with a lot of major acts, what they bring to the stage. And to me, that's so important. When I was an artist, I think personally, because I was a lyrical person, but a lot of people told me I was a better performer than I was. As lyrical as I was and as creative I was from a writing standpoint, people said that it translated even more to them once I touched the stage. You know, so you have to do that, because that's what's going to really grab the people and get you to them. You know, one of the greatest performers nowadays, and most people may not even know him because he's not a mainstream artist, but I tell you this much, if you ever get a chance to see him perform, you have to go see him perform. And that artist's name is Tech N9ne.
Okay? Oh, Tech N9ne. Oh, yeah, Tech N9ne. He's serious.
Oh, yeah, he's big. But he's not mainstream and whatnot. But when you see him,
yeah, that's
perform,
the thing.
He does it. He gives you a show. He makes sure, you know, I spent after watching him perform, because they feed him off of what he's giving, and they feel like they performing when he's performing. And that's when you know you're giving a good show, to answer your question. You know,
you know that
your energy is good when you got people talking about it 20 minutes after you got off the stage.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. By all means, appreciate the call.
Not a problem.
Now, Sebastian, let me ask you, if you wanted to get a show set up for your artist, how long would that possibly take you?
If I wanted to get a show, I mean, see, like, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was another topic on the website. Now, you have shows where you have situations that are, like I said, with Bully opening up for Future. Those are shows to me. And then you have showcases. I'm not a fan of showcases for my artists. Why? Because they do not benefit my artists. The reason why I'm saying that is because the people that coordinate these events are doing it to benefit them.
Mm.
Now, if you believe in putting together a venue because you are a conduit to the enterprise of music, meaning, you know, people respect who you are as a person that sees talent and showcase talent, and you could take a situation from A to B, then yeah, I'll do those showcases. But the reality is the showcase game has became the new, you know, promote a party venue. You know what I'm saying? But
Okay.
And it's really just a hustle. You know, they get some, you know, notable artists, notable celebrities, notable industry reps to come down and buy them a bottle or whatever. But the reps is not there. They ain't looking for nothing.
Yeah,
you know, they just did it. It's a night to sit out and have some drinks and some buffalo wings on the house. You know what I'm saying? And show up, do a friend a little favor by making an appearance. But the intentions is not there to find talent. You know what I mean? So when it comes to shows, right now, all I look for in my artists is like, yo, listen, I'm looking for my artists to open up for a major act, especially if they develop themselves. Artists like Vane, artists like Bully, didn't work hard to, get a name for themselves. You know what I'm saying? They done worked around some great artists that who's notable in the game, and you know that's the next step for them. You know, doing venues like that is beneficial to me because, like I said, you can begin to build your fan base with those because they came out to see the headliner, but now this is your opportunity to win them over as well. So now, last week, Bully had an opportunity to do a show with Future and gain Future fans to make them not only Future fans, but Future and now Bully fans.
Showcase,
and the promoter's asking you to sell tickets, bring your crowd out. Now, he's doing that with anywhere from 10 to 15, maybe even 20 acts. He's asking all of that for him. At the end of the day, the artist is putting together his venue. You know what I'm saying? They're bringing the crowd.
Uh-huh.
They're bringing the door money. They're bringing the bar money. And they get none of that but just an opportunity for 7 to maybe 10 minutes to perform in the hopes of getting a cash prize or on a website or two or something like that. And at the end of the day, the winner is the promoter, like I said. So it's like, to me, if you that dude that can, you know, transcend a career from one point to another, you shouldn't be making it mandatory that I sell tickets because your name should carry enough weight to...
I agree with that.
To bring out people and whatnot. You know what I mean? And that, you know, so that's, you know, with the show thing, but as far as availability, my artist is on standby. They soldiers for war, man. You know what I'm saying? We got show CDs on deck ready. Tell us we got a show tonight. It's 8:21. We ready to roll out by 9:45. You know what I'm saying?
Something going on tonight.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We will work spare the moment. It's just all a matter of, you know, what the venues are and everything like that. I mean, I've had spare the moment situations where we had to go out of town because it was an opportunity to shine.
Now, what's your definition of an MC and a rapper? What makes the two different from each other in your category?
Okay. Now, I'm gonna give a one word definition, and I'm gonna expound on that a little bit.
Okay.
Passion. A MC is passionate about what he writes about and what he records. A rapper's gonna do what's popular. Where MC will look to go against the grain. A rapper will look to conform, where an MC will look to stand out. You know, a rapper will tend to draw to things by popular demand, where MC is going to look to show his creativity. He wants the words to mean something. You know, a rapper, I mean, I think every artist needs to make sure that there's an MC that lies inside of him. And then the MC, like I said, is going to be that, he's going to work to be that triple threat. You look at most people who consider themselves to be MCs, with the exception maybe of, I say, Nas. Nas, you know, it's my boy. I love him, but you know, the stage thing ain't one of his strongest suits. But for the most part, most cats who consider themselves to be an MC, they gonna make sure that they carry as much of a threat to the game as possible. And I like lyrics and I like music of content, you know, so it works for me. I love MCs. You know, I can't tell you I love a whole lot of rappers.
I like that.
I just being honest, you know, they might sneak a song in there that might be, you know, that'll have me singing along with it and everything, you know what I mean? But I mean, when I'm listening in my iTunes, when I'm grinding on my laptop and I'm looking for music to inspire me to keep pushing at the 11th hour, you know, you won't hear those dudes. You'll hear some MCs and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I might have to reach in the archives just to get that inspiration. So, you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, a side. There should be a rapper side. Because I think rap is more of what labels and the industry and the media, you know, want. People want that MC. You know what I'm saying? Because if you listen to the streets, you hear the kids, first thing they'll say, yeah, that rapper ain't nice. Yeah, he ain't nice. He ain't nice. Nice means crafty with lyrics, coming up with similes. So if you're not sounding crafty, then people are not going to draw to you. They don't feel as if you spent enough time with your craft. I'll give you something that Tretch said to me in a conversation. Where you have a lot of rappers talking about they don't write lyrics. First thing that he came out of his mouth with was, it's exactly why music is not what it used to be. Because people do not take time to write their lyrics to make sure that what they're projecting to the audience is worth buying. You know? I mean, you know, a lot of today's music, if I hear 3 records, I heard the whole album.
Yeah, 'cause that's what I wanted to ask you next. How do you feel about the music that's out now compared to the music that was out back then?
Well, basically, I'm gonna, you know, put what I just said in repeat. Like, you know, I remember being in studios, man. I used to go to Baseline Studios, Powerplay Studio, Sony Studios, and, you know, there'd be like 3-4 different artists that are notable artists, you know, in their recording. And these guys would actually, like, go in each other's studio sessions and listen to what each other was doing. And I seen songs scrapped, like, right there on the spot based on what someone else was doing in the next room. So the competitive nature was good. It was good because rappers kept other rappers on their toes and whatnot. It's like, yo, he coming with that heat in that next room there, man. We might have to put that beat to the side. And you know what, man? I got this other joint. Let's load this other joint up and let's work on this. So it's like, you know, when you listen to albums, you know, that came back from, you know, the 90s, especially the 90s was a real special time, man, because, you know, that was really challenging for music because music, you know, took on a whole new fold. It wasn't so much about struggle. People started really making money from this music thing, so you could talk from it from a success standpoint. And it really kept you on your toes. Nowadays, I don't think the artists really, I don't think they really sit down and really, like, map out, you know, what it is they looking to do when they put together a record. When I'm saying a record, I mean an album, you know. And that could be lack of leadership from an A&R standpoint. I personally believe that there should be no more A&R departments because they mean nothing to the game anymore, you know. Whereas in the 90s, you know, artists was groomed. They had people whose ears they respected, and they told them, like, listen, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to be more well-rounded with this project, we need to have songs of different feels so that it could reach out, because, you know, in different markets, people related to different sounds and songs of different tempos and things of that nature. But now, Cash is like, this is who I am, this is what I did, take it or leave it. And that's really the attitude on stage, and that's why, you know, you see cats like the first 4 minutes of their performance is electric, and then the last 15, 20 minutes, oh, man, you know, people is on their iPhones, people texting their baby mothers, making sure the kids is in bed, because it's nothing there. You know, you hearing a bunch of beats at the same tempo, you hearing the same songs with the same hooks. And it's just not a good feel. Like, people really, to me, I always feel like you have to take the past into consideration to create a new future. Because it's like, all right, I know what was done. I need to recognize that, respect that, but I need to bring that here and then take it to another level. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays, cats' performances is just based on what surprise artist that they did a feature with, like it's really a surprise, going to come on stage with them. Like, you know, Staking Point Summer Jam. Like, they sell that. Who's going to come on stage with who at Summer Jam? Like, yo, brother, you can't carry yourself on stage by yourself. I know damn well Busta will rip Summer Jam by himself with just him and Split Star acting like a fool dancing. You know what I'm saying? Run his whole catalog. Don't need a knick-knack of feature, period. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I know DMX will touch a stage and have folks of all walks of life losing their mind up in here, by himself. No entourage, no mean guy standing on stage, no surprise features coming out. If that happens, it's a plus, but at the end of the day, you still feel like, you know, you got a performance, you know what I mean? And I swear, man, cats be like, if some so-and-so is going to be down here tonight, man, you want to go? I'm like, why? For what? I didn't see any performance before. I'm not impressed, and I'm quite sure I'm going to see more the same night. So, nah. Well, I'll come after the show. What time you getting on? I'll come after you before. I ain't got time to waste, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? My time is very limited. It's only 24 hours in a day, and I ain't got none of it to waste. So, nah, man, I'll be there after the stage. Who's going to be down there? So I can get up in the DJ ear and try to get some records played or something. That's what it is, man. I go to the club. I'm at the DJ booth. You know what I'm saying? I spend most of my time there. You know, trying to make sure that they don't pull Houdini acts without seeing me.
I feel you. What I want to do right now, Kim, I want to get into another single, All Ghetto, featuring Red Cafe.
Okay, now, let me tell you something about that record before we go into that record. That record that is the record that really got Vane's bus going crazy and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't know if you checked the video on Vimeo. We couldn't put it on YouTube because it's a little too X-rated and whatnot, but, you know, it was 30 dancers in the back of a limo wilding out on Times Square, dog. Trust and believe.
Wow.
We was on Times Square Saturday night, 3-4 in the morning, with a Hummer limo with the back out, and it was nothing but TNA showing and whatnot.
Wow.
Then the week after that, 2 weeks after that, we did his mixtape release party in B.B. King's with DJ Self and Ty Boogie and them and whatnot. And we stepped up there with a limo again, and we had only 12 this time, but, you know, Vane is Captain America, so we had the ladies step out in Captain America attire and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? And we shut down B.B. King. Like, literally shut down B.B. King. So I just wanted to say that. Shout out to Red Cafe. He definitely came out, shot the video with us, because when we get features, we don't just get features. They come out and they do the video with us as well. So let's get it. Vane, All Ghetto, featuring Red Cafe.
All right, for sure.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
With something like a phenomena, headed straight to the top in the elevator, spending bread like it's the lotto. You know us, we so get go.
Yeah. Body, cause the party don't stop, and I be in the jam to play my own car. They can't understand why the hands is all rock. They used to ride huffies with the pack, now ride huffies in the act. That look like Buffy in the back. These rappers that get smacked, I treat them like cussies in the trap. You like what? 300 for the bub? I'm like, what's 300 for the bub? We in the club on E, and mommy won't tug on me. If you with a girl, so I'm trying to cut on three. And the Tim's is Gucci, Air Force is Louis. Stupid jewelry, I'm stuck in my ways. Smoke kush that I had your stuff for days. $1,000 outfits, goddamn it, we pay.
What I'm saying like a phenomena. Headed straight to the top in the elevator. Spending bread like it's the lotto. You
Yeah, what else? And life of a rocker. Fine wine and soup made from lobster. Nothing but dimes on my roster. Cartier flair, so I dress them in posses. My cash is up, stash is tough. My new bitch badass baddest. I'm riding clean, high as a cloud. Billionaire club, no brokenness allowed. I was a youngin', now look, I'm a boss. Making fireworks, popping champagne corks. So y'all can go and take you a picture. And send my alcohol straight, no mixer. From the grind to the shine, from the hoop to the coupe, now I'm flying all the time. The bottom line is, she a dime beer. Would never decline me stepping behind ease.
I'm saying like a phenomena. Headed straight to the top in the elevator. Spending bread like the lotto. You know us, we so get go.
Okay, I'm in the strip club with a bottle in a stack. With them dimes that I need a model on my lap. Put ones in the rack, make that ass clap. Took her to the crib, hit a ghetto from the back. Ma, if you gon' ride on top, she arrow that. That boy Vane hard on the track, see Alice rap. Shorty half red, half brown, half black. $300 weave and still she fat that. In fact, I put 22s on it. You hear them say, he threw the big shoes on it. What bank the bread is in the bed? Shouts to my PhD in the fed. Yeah, I'm all ghetto Doc Smith matching. But you don't see the mind with my crew's clashing. The table is all glitz, cream cheese in my pocket. Special on the wrist, all ghetto with it.
Like a phenomena. Headed straight to the top in the elevator. Spending bread like the lotto. You know us, we so get go.
J-Toes that pose is stiletto.
Let's go.
Jeans sag due to the metal.
Let's go.
We keeps it all ghetto.
Let's go.
We keeps it all ghetto.
Let's go.
Nothing on the beat, she's so special. Shoes on the whip, ice on the vessel. We keeps it all ghetto.
Let's go.
We keeps it all ghetto.
Let's go.
We keeps it all ghetto. We keeps it all ghetto.
Yo.
Yes, sir.
Bash. Y'all are doing it big. Ain't no question, yo. You is definitely doing it big.
Yeah, man. We trying to make big records, doing it for the people, man, at the end of the day. That's what's important. That's another thing that people got to understand and whatnot. It's like, you know, this is for the people, man. You know, anytime you put together any kind of artwork without them, it doesn't work. So, you know, we try to have fun. We make serious songs in the serious times, but we really try to get the people to come out and enjoy what we're doing.
Now, let me ask you.
Quickly, shout out to my man Deep Freeze from Sub-Zero. He shot the video to that. He's definitely supported. Yeah, definitely. You know, Freeze shot maybe like, what? He shot All Ghetto. That was the first one. Then he shot Club Life. And then he shot Shards of Glass. And then he's actually doing behind the scenes for Vane's new video, Money on My Mind and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? We're shooting that Tuesday night, you know, midnight at a location in Queens. You know, fellas, we don't need y'all. Ladies, y'all welcome.
No.
You know. No, I'm saying we look out for the fellas too, but we got all of the hood gangsta fella shots and whatnot. Now, this location is definitely going to be, you know, highlighted for the ladies and whatnot. So that's what we're doing.
Now, let me ask you. You said Shabazz is a man with wealth of knowledge and a true passion for music. Elaborate us on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, me, I'm pretty much, man, like, my parents are old school parents, and it's like my dad always taught me, like, never do nothing if you don't love doing it. You know what I'm saying? Do what you love to do. And if you're going to do it, give it 100%. So I really love music. You know what I'm saying? I have a background. I started out doing the dancing thing and everything like that. So, you know, I love music. You know what I'm saying? And if you're going to put, you know, effort forth as an artist, I was a passionate artist. I rapped about things that I thought people needed to hear, you know, wanted to hear and had to hear. And
you know, when you're representing an artist, you got to have passion for it, because it's like, you know, that person's putting his trust and his belief in you delivering. So, you know, to me, it's not just all about who you are and, you know, your swag and everything like that. I think it takes a certain level of you know, humbleness, you know, humility, and you really have to want to do this, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody's doing music these days, man, you know. It's not special no more, you know. When I came up in the 80s, if you knew a rapper, it meant something. Now everybody knows a rapper, you know. You got some grandmothers that say, yeah, I know so-and-so and so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? So it's really not special. So you got to work harder now, stand out than you ever did when it comes to this music thing, because everybody wants to do it. Every gangster, every kid, every college kid, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, from every walk of life, you know, they want to do it and feel like they can do it. So you have to work harder to really stick out and stand out now, because you got a lot of people thinking that they can do this. It's not special. It's like, oh, I can do that too, man. All I got to do is sit down, get a beat, and write some rhymes, you know. And they devalue the game. But, you know, the ones that stick out is the ones that are truly special. You know what I'm saying? And you see it, because it shows in their music.
Exactly. Now, what's the one thing you don't like about the music industry?
Oh, man, the people that's running it. Oh, man, the people who's running it, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there was a time when, you know, street credibility and you being a person of the people mattered when you sit in them seats, from whether you're doing promotions and marketing, whether you're doing publicity, whether you're doing A&R, you know, you had to be a hands-on rep to the people and whatnot. And nowadays, it's like it got real, almost like mom and pop, where a lot of these guys are given these positions because they went to school for mass communications, marketing, publicity. They got degrees now. Hip-hop ain't never been about no damn degrees. Hip-hop's been about grassroots, you know what I'm saying, and everything like that. And now they got all of these college cats up in there, who uncle, you know, is an exec in another department. Is like, you know, they used to intern there, you know, at the grassroots levels when they was in high school, and now that they done got out of college, you know, they feel they worthy of a position to take on things. And nah, man, nah, because these dudes is not in touch. They not in touch with DJs. They not in touch with a lot of elements, you know, that makes what an A&R is special, what makes a promoter special, what makes, a person in publicity, you know, special and whatnot. And so the people that they have to reach out to don't value them. They don't respect them. It's like, man, who's this dude here, man? Come on, man, get out of my face, man. Tell your boss to call me. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's why I say A&R department, there's no need now, because most people don't even respect the A&R rep. You know what I'm saying? They don't even respect the promo rep, because if you can't cut a check, DJ don't want to hear from you. Radio program directors don't want to hear from you. Music directors don't want to hear from you, because you don't affect the bottom line. So to me, it has to get back to people who's really been hands-on with this stuff, and who's truly passionate about it, because a lot of these cats that's holding these positions, it's just 9 to 5 for them. You know what I mean? When I worked at Electric Records, man, listen, we grind hard. Worked all day, was in the clubs all night. You know what I'm saying? Moving around. I used to go to 5-6 clubs in one night, working to get records played. Now these dudes just sit behind laptops, get on their phone.
Exactly.
And there's no hands-on. There's nothing hands-on. The people don't get to see you. The people that you reaching out to that truly affect the bottom line, like DJs, don't get to see you. And the business is being devalued in the process.
It's real easy now.
Like the record sales and everything.
It's too easy right now.
Yeah. You know, it's like, You know, they're not giving them nothing to go out there and work. And then, you know, the A&R rep really don't have signing power. Like years ago, he used to be the A&R rep would sign this, and his head would be on a platter if this, you know, this didn't pop off. Mm-hmm. But now, like, you know, an A&R rep could really believe in the artist. He'd be, you know, this brother is talented. You know, he really has what it takes. He really doesn't need grooming. He's in the studio. He's active. And these dudes want to know what kind of clown video he got out and how many views it is on YouTube and whatnot. And that's cool if you're trying to get a feel for if this dude already has an audience. But as a label, when you're taking so much of the sales money, when you're recouping so much of the residuals, it's your obligation to go out there and create these stars. And right now, record companies and distribution services now starting to act up like they major labels. They want to be spoon-fed situations. I understand it's a partnership, but the reality is the artist and the entity doesn't get partnership-type money. So you call it a partnership only when it works for you, but then at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, it's really you working for them. You know what I'm saying? And especially now in the day and age where you have 360 deals going on where labels want to recoup on any avenue that you make money from, whether they are involved in it or not. And I'm opposed to that because if you don't book me the show, then you should get no dough. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line. It's like, unless you're contributing to the situation, you shouldn't receive anything. You know what I mean? Bottom line.
You know what I want to do right now, Shabazz? I want to play that track, Money Over BS. I want you to introduce it because that joint is just fire. I got to play that. Parental discretion is advised because, you know, we got people listening and everything. But introduce that track for me because we're going to play that, Money Over BS.
Okay. But before we do that, is it possible to end the show with Count My Stacks? That's Vane's new single.
Oh, okay. You know what? We could definitely do that.
All right, too. Money Over BS is from our artist SK19. You know, he's out of Louisiana. He done came up here with a dollar and a dream. You know, he's staying here in New York, and, you know, he's working hard and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? And he just has a raw, you know, Lil Bootsy, Tupac-oriented sound and whatnot. You know, those are two of his inspirations and whatnot, and the record comes off as a monster. You know what I'm saying? You might want to hide your kids, hide your wife when you hear this record.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
No matter how hard you try to stop my flight, I'm still fly, sipping Henny, high as hell, fuck what they feel like. Strobe light, get my attention, it's the pill, right? Leaning in this bitch, going ham on the hills, right? In position to get money, homie, with no condition. So ambitious, she professional, must I say persistent? Persistent, gotta keep spin till I convince her. She's smiling at me, a perfect picture, just worth attention. More than more, the word is out, how I murder foes, pussies on frost. I got G's like a Gucci watch. In the club, but with your bitch, you like a pussy pop. I toast the bitches, don't touch it until she shoot me guap. Regulations and speculations, seeking refutations. Compensating is what it's about, piece of occupation. When I'm gone, they'll be back, writing bullshit. Watch the throne, my infantry ready to sit. It's money over bullshit. I bury niggas too quick. You been waiting for that new shit, Tony. I come back and boom. Uh-oh, I switch it up, then I hit the club. That bitch is the casket and show me love. Uh-oh, I switch it up, then I hit the club. That bitch is the casket and show me love. Tatted shoes got me feeling new. A nigga could get used to this. A Torres top for 5K, the nigga shoot for this. Check my dosha, ministry, stay dispute for this. The flinching when they see me, don't get it twisted, confused and shit. Read a nigga face, the purple back to blue again. I'm back on top of my shit, I'm sitting on my roof again. My gun bucket with it too much for the shoot to win. I pop another half of the fizzle, turn around and shoot your friend. Head home, jump in the shower, I regroup within the hour later. I'm back in the club, sipping some rockin' head. Hotter and mommy trying to get close to a body was easier than I thought. We got lost after the party.
Joker got a nut. Just sorry, baby, I'm mighty. There's nothing else to explain. Just drop me off in the Audi. M.O.B. Check about my M.O.N.E. vibe. Those niggas wanna see me die. Fuck it, niggas gotta see me die. Rock it.
It's money over bullshit. I bury niggas too quick.
Yeah. Been waiting for that new shit. Told
I come back and prove shit.
Uh-oh, my switch is cut. Then I hit the club.
That bitch is the cash, get it, show me love.
Uh-oh, my switch is up, and I hit the club.
That bitch is the cash, get it, show me love.
It's suits and yonkers, sister bruise on my conscience, so if I never get tricked, I'll give a chick all my dollars. And she's saying, brown shit, I told her I need a sponsor to help me get through this bullshit. So I'm feeling cocky, my motivation, success through the stress. I'm still in power with the fast cars and money, erase problems and catalysts. Club fill it up, pick up, be different up. For order for few bottles and VIP, give it up. Rats, bags, and shit. You niggas ain't about your money. I'm hungry, a different story. Whatever it takes, I'm hustling. Nobody you did it for me. Nobody was feeling homie when homie was living bummy. My rap silence my enemies like they part of the mummy. No need for me to start stunning. Been playing with large money. You niggas smashing your gums, my niggas was sparks. One sound of the pistol, like the Pacific, still start running.
Money over bullshit. I bury niggas too quick.
They've been waiting for that new shit.
Told I come back and bruise.
Uh-oh, my switch is up and I hit the club.
That bitch is the cash, get it, show me love.
Uh-oh, my switch is up and I hit the club.
That bitch is the cash, get it, show me love.
That's K1I. Still here, nigga, get it right, homie. 2G12. No motherfucking playing with these niggas. Breaking all of these niggas hell. No stopping me alive. These niggas understand what it be like, nigga. Hooligan. Yeah. Fuck what niggas talking about, nigga. It's that real shit. It's motherfucking money over bullshit. Motherfucking tool spit, let it go. Half these motherfuckers ain't ready for us. So we knowing what we doing. Niggas are stepping up to the next step. Walnut cheese, hooligan. K19, fuck 'em all, body bag.
Okay, Sebas, your boy just really stick with it, man.
He actually did that fresh out of the pen, Kate. Like, you know what I'm saying? He came home from lockup in October. You know what I'm saying? And that was the first joint that he did as soon as he came home. You know what I'm saying? Just put the power on in his apartment because he got a studio in his crib. We just got to banging that joint out and whatnot. So he had a lot to say, and he had a lot of energy with him.
Yeah, you could tell. You could definitely tell.
You know, SK never lacking for energy, man. That's one thing I can say about the brothers. Never lacking.
He'll kill a stage.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the hunger in him. He'll kill a stage.
Yeah, definitely. Huh. Definitely. You know what I'm saying? He reminds me... And on stage, he reminds me of X a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as the energy, you know what I'm saying? And like I told you, if you know, you ask him what was his inspirations, he'll tell you cats like X, Pac, you know, of course, Lil Boosie, because, you know, he's from Louisiana. And, you know, that's the king. Make no mistake, man. Don't let him tell you Young Money is the king of Louisiana. The king of Louisiana is, without a doubt, Boosie. No question. You know, I realized that when I touched down in Baton Rouge and whatnot, and then took a trip to New Orleans, and you throw Young Money around like that, you might catch an AK to the face, kid, because they ain't too fond of them down there. You know what I'm saying? But you mentioned Lil Boosie is universal across the board and whatnot. You know, they rep him hard. It's nothing but love for him, and you know they stand for him because he stands for the state.
Yeah, we're running out of time, Sebas. But what I really want you to do, because I also want to get that last track, Counting Stacks, in there.
Yes, sir.
I want you to give your information, let them know how they could contact you, give your shout-outs, give everything. Just flow with it.
All right. First and foremost, my contacts is, you know, if you want to send me anything, email is shabazzakeem@gmail.com. Or you can reach me on Facebook and Twitter under Akeem Shabazz, AKEEMSHABAZZ. You can find me on Reverb Nation under Team Takeover Music. And unless you are a serious contact, you will not be having my phone number. you know, and like I said, shout outs, man. Oh, man, it's a whole lot, man. You know, first and foremost, I want to shout out the producers, man, that I work with. You know what I'm saying? That gives us tracks and everything. Shout out to Eddie James, VIP, Rick Steele, Soul G, first and foremost, because that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? Minority Report, that's my guy, straight out of Fort Lauderdale. You know, they monsters on them tracks, man, and they keep my artists, you know, inspired by the beats they bring out and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, shout out to everybody that's just been helping me out, man. Go to the website, of course, www.mymediablast.com. You know, that's www.mymediablast.com. We're a multimedia website. You will definitely find a lot of interesting stories on there, and you gotta definitely check the I'm Just Saying report by Akeem Shabazz, because you will definitely be entertained with that. You know what I'm saying? That's where I keep it 1,000. I say what I feel in my heart, and I don't care who I offend.
I feel you. I definitely feel you.
But shout outs to you as well, Rich, man. Shout out to you and Lavina and everything for having me on, man. I don't get to do this too much. Most of the time I'm pitching for my artists to do this.
But we're going to work on that next. That's next. We're going to have one of your artists on there.
Yeah. Veins on deck and whatnot. And you're going to enjoy that, because he's a well-rounded brother, good brother. It's what the game needs, really. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's a lot of people out there just playing things one way, and he gives game a fresh new perspective. So, look forward to that. You know what I'm saying? Definitely.
No doubt. And we definitely going to let you know, because he's coming on real soon. Real soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, King. It was definitely an honor having you on.
Oh, yeah. The pleasure was all mine, man. Anytime I can reach out to the masses, man, that's a benefit to me. So I'm definitely honored.
Yeah, and, like, if you got anything you want to play or anything you need to play, or whenever you're ready to come back, just holler at us. Never a problem.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to keep loading you up with some joints, man. Don't get tired of me, man, because...
Nah, never that.
Time is getting here, and I'm putting together projects. Guys is in the studio. They working hard, man. You know what I'm saying?
All right, no doubt. We about to play. We're going to play that Count and Stacks right now at the end of the show, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. You know, that's that sit back, relax, you know what I'm saying, Friday music. That's that Friday music. You just came out of the bank with crispy dollar bills, and you feeling real good about yourself, and your swag is on 1,000 instead of 100.
All right.
Yes, sir. You might not play it Monday, but it definitely works for Friday.
Well, we're going to play whatever I have a show, we're going to play. You don't even got to worry about that.
Yes, sir.
All right, Shabazz, I'm going to definitely holler at you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, man.
No doubt. Akeem Shabazz, Dons and Divas. All right, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank Selena Hargrove with the GQ General Question. I want to thank up-and-coming artists, Southern Yorker, a.k.a. R&B Divine, one of the biggest promoters in New York, Joe B's, also in the building. I want to thank our special guest appearance, Akeem Shabazz. Don't forget to check out his artists. They doing their thing. We will definitely have Vine and the rest of them on the show. I want to thank you, the listeners, the callers, but most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. I want to give a birthday shout-out to my little man, Isaiah Archibald. He will be 5 years old, you know, just like his daddy. He's doing his thing. All right, I'm your host, Rich Money. I hope everyone have a safe and blessed weekend. That's it for tonight's show. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment, where dreams come true.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Yeah!
So deep, that's hot.
Keep her dumb when I hit 999. She mounting that. And I got a girl with that so fat, you gon' be mad at that fat. I got that ride like they should've won the rodeo. Yeah. Said my gun ain't fly, but bet that my loaded though. I see beef or police, I blow it though. Hey. Then I flee the scene and stash the heat up in the poker. Okay. No, we say the poker. Go. Okay, we in it to win. All of my fallen soldiers flat and tatted right on my skin. And this money made me a sick animal. I need a bet. I got a green thumb and I ain't save a plant yet.
Break it on his shack.